the Asians kick the crap out of everybody in this.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C4.
And I'm Koba.
I played so much that game.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
If you listen to the show for this long, you know that I don't give a fuck.
Ludacris kill.
Kobar was really sick, on his deathbed kind of stuff. I don't even think you played any games, did you?
I didn't. I couldn't. I couldn't even think clearly enough.
That is sick.
Yeah.
That is sick. Because I know when I'm sick, I like to like camp out in my, like really ill and sick. Like bad sick. Where you can't like walk. I still manage to like lay in bed and hook up whatever console I can get there, you know?
Right.
Or a handheld or something. And watch a ton of movies and play a lot of games from my bed.
Right.
But if you couldn't have even played any video games.
No, everything was just kind of, like, hazy and...
That's hardcore.
So I was so dehydrated and whatnot.
Right. Jesus.
Peeing all that, out my ass.
Yeah. Throwing up and stuff,
yeah.
Too? Awesome. Peeing out your ass. Wait a minute. That's no good. All right. Also, you know what else we missed while we were on our little hiatus here? Our 3-year anniversary. This shit was like February something or rather. In 2003. Isn't that crazy? And we missed it because of, like, real-life stuff getting in the way. And then I was sick the week before that. I don't know what the hell happened to me.
I think it's coming up on 2 years for me.
Yeah, huh? Since episode, what, 33 or so?
Yeah
it was February 25th, 2003, back before we had that lovely word called podcast. And I'm going to stick with internet radio or something like that. But yeah, I mean, as far as missing the shows and everything, you know, just like everything else in the real world, I'm just gonna go ahead and I'm gonna in the online world, I'm gonna blame lag. Okay, the shows were recorded and everything was taken care of, but like, you know, there's that latency issue there, and you're just now hearing this, right? So that's, I'm gonna blame that. It works for everybody else. I kill somebody in a game, they're like lag.
Right.
So hey, you know. Lag hit the show, you know. What can I say? It was a technical difficulty. Okay, deal with it. That's what I'm told all day, every day, no matter what game you're playing. My favorite was in those first-person shooters, you know.
Right.
Some guy, you just smoke some guy, just steamroll his ass, and he's lag. Yeah, so, you know, hey, shit happens to us too, lag. But hopefully, we're back on track. Everybody's feeling good. Nobody's peeing out their ass.
Nope.
We're doing. I got plenty of sleep. That was what happened the week before. I slept like 4 hours. Kobar was here, and we were ready to do the show. And about the middle of the day, when it came time, I couldn't even like open my eyes. I was so screwed up, and it was like, you know, you get that just like crazy tired where you can't even like think straight and focus. I felt like I was gonna puke if I opened my mouth.
Yeah, the way he was sitting around, it wouldn't have been a very good show anyway.
Yeah. This is C4 and this other guy, I forgot. And we're supposed to talk about games. Yeah, that would have been no good.
Yeah.
So definitely not, but it sucks because I sit around all week thinking about doing the show. I hate that. You know, I can't. You ever talk to yourself like you're going to be on the show? That fucking happens to me all day long.
The worst is when it happens to come around that I'm not on the show, and then I listen to it, and I like open my mouth to say something, and, oh, right, this isn't live.
I notice listeners have a big problem with that too, because they'll talk to me like 2 weeks later about whatever show was posted as if I had just said it.
Right, right.
And I'm expected to remember, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, they'll just pick it up in the middle of a sentence. And they're like, no, you're totally wrong about that. I'm like, about what? I haven't said anything in 4 hours on IRC. And they're like, well, you were just talking about, and I'm like, holy crap. Let me look at the show notes real quick. Give me something to go on here, people. Thank you very much. No, I do that. I do that a lot, though. I'm sitting at work a lot of the times, and some kind of a scenario will happen, and I'll think to myself, oh, man, if I was on the show, this would be great for this little part here. And then half the time, I'll just start talking, and I find myself in the car driving around at work, like, talking to myself, and people think I'm fucking nuts. Like, the other day, I got all kinds of excited. This is actually a cool story, and I'm going to have to get the picture off of my phone and put it on the website. I wanted to give big shout-outs, big props to this person here. I'm driving around, I'm at work, and I'm spaced out. I don't know how people drive. I'm a big, like, not-paying-attention kind of person driver, because I'm like, I think it's just like those Uber gaming skills come into play when you're driving.
Me too, actually. And, like, if anything around you happens to happen, boom!
You're on it!
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, you get in cars with people that don't play games, and it's like, the hardest thing in the world. They're paying attention. They're focusing on stuff. And you're like,
a much worse job than that, I might add.
Yeah. Like, it's some kind of a stressful thing. And I'm like, I should be shooting somebody right now to make this interesting.
But quickly on this subject, they did a study once, and gamers...
I saw this just a little bit ago.
Gamers are, considerably percentage-wise, better at driving.
I actually spoke to, and it doesn't hurt the fact that we're males either. Now, I know that sounds like some kind of a sexist remark, but I spent a good 3 hours, in fact, I told you this story, with an a retired NHP, Nevada Highway Patrol officer, and he flat out was like, you know, hands down, as a group, males are better drivers. And he's like, I don't know what it is, but, like, you know, he used to scrape up chicks off the road all the time. And it was girls for the weirdest fucking things. Like, and he even told me, he's like, this highway, right, I was out at his house, and there's a highway, big ass wide open highway, and somehow chicks will fucking wind up flipped over in the middle of the road, and there's nothing there.
Well, both genders have what they're naturally good at, and I think it actually has to do with spatial,
Oh, right. Yeah, you actually mentioned this to me a while ago, and that was actually pretty interesting, and we didn't pursue it very much. But yeah, I bet there is something to that, but I totally lost my train of thought. Now, oh, talking to myself about being on the show.
Yeah, when we were talking about the picture.
Oh, damn it. That's right. This is important. Okay, the picture. Major props to this person here. So I'm driving around at work, not paying attention, you know, spaced out, checking out the scenes, thinking about all kinds of stuff, you know, how to save the world and whatnot. And somehow my eyes, you know, just wandering around, and they rest on the car in front of me, on the license plate. You know, they just kind of, just eventually I wandered over to the license plate, and my brain kind of recognized right off the bat it wasn't a standard license plate, you know, three numbers and three letters, right, like it usually is here in Nevada. And I kind of, like, started to, focus my thought process on it just to kind of read what it said. And it kind of fucked with my head, because it was something from another world, it felt like, was somehow all of a sudden in the real physical world. And this license plate was PWNZ. And I was like, no fucking way. Oh, my God. So the very first thing I did was grab my little, you know, cell phone, which isn't mine, by the way, because most of you know that I can't stand telephones and don't have a cell phone, but it's for work. And it's got a little camera on it, which I've found to be a fascinating little tool, because I got to take a picture of some chick's bowl in her bathroom one day. It was awesome. Did I show you that one? Uh-uh. It's her sink, but it's a bowl, like, sitting on the counter. Huh. And it's a sink, but it's a bowl. And I love telling the story, like, I took a picture of this bowl in the bathroom, and everybody's like, you took a picture of some chick's toilet? But so I take a picture of the license plate. It's not a very good one, but just to prove that it happened, right? And I figure, hey, I'm going to drive up next to this person and just get a look at this dude, you know, just check him out and be like, you know, hey, whatever, you know, games, you know, just say something to him, you know, just whatever. I just wanted to check it out. So I get up next to this person, and it's a girl.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do with myself. Now, all of a sudden, I was like, I'm just going to, like, look back at the road here and pretend like nothing happened at all. How friggin' weird is that? That was awesome. So major shout-outs to that chick. And there's actually about a couple blocks from me, a buddy of mine I was telling at work, as a matter of fact, there's one, it's Poncess, PWNCESS, and it's a chick that drives. He's going to get a picture of it for us, he said.
Nice.
Poncess. Yeah, that's pretty friggin' awesome. So major shout-outs to them. That's pretty damn cool. Now, as far as actual game stuff, we've got a bunch of email to get into, because it's been quite a while, but it's actually not. Well, you know, I mean, it looks like a lot, but it's not that many.
Well, a couple of them are pretty big, though.
Right, which I'm going to love trying to read, because my tongue is all screwed up, so I'm really trying hard not to to slur my speech too much or sound like certain people. Now, we have... Oh, you know what? Let's do this one first here. From GeoKing. Sent us a video that was supposedly a... you know, to tell you the truth, I don't know what this was supposedly. Because if it was labeled as, like, a leaked video of an alpha version, I don't think it qualifies as leaked. It wasn't like a professionally made thing that was internal use only. This looked like the janitor had snuck a camcorder into the offices and,
right.
and knew a little bit how to work a computer or something to fire up this game. But he's got he gave us a video that's supposedly an alpha of Duke Nukem Forever, which I must say is very unimpressive.
Yeah.
I don't know what
to say the least, even.
Now,
especially since it's 10
you know,
years
Yeah, however
old.
The hell old this thing is, I'm not 100% sure exactly,
yeah.
but it's up there. I mean, it's got to be close. I mean, I'd probably say 7 or 8, probably. I mean, it's been a long damn time.
Well, no, it was before I graduated high school.
How long ago was that?
Well, it was considerably longer, and that's like 7 years now.
Holy shit. Yeah, but this is... I don't know, because, see, I've seen... screenshots of it that looked a lot better, and I've seen I don't know what I was playing. It was like a game or something, or there was a video, and at the end of the video it had a little scene from using the whatever the hell engine they had at the time, because
right.
we know they've changed engines like, you know, 27,000 different times, but it looked a lot better than this. This had like no wall textures.
Well,
it ran like shit.
If they change engines, they basically have to start
right.
over, don't
right
they?
Right, yeah. I mean, so I can see how it's in that shape, but the game looks like it's been in development for maybe a year. You know, I mean, I mean, it runs like ass. You can see like the motion blur, like where they're going to put effects or whatever.
Right.
You know, and that, like, there's no textures. It looks like you can see through the wall. It runs like crap. I mean, it's like slow. There's just nothing put together with this. But they had the guns. They did have the guns. Remember?
Yeah,
the guy had guns.
Like,
he had a rocket launcher, it looked
yeah.
like, and a pistol and some other shit.
And they said in an interview,
they said,
"We have the guns.
We have the guns." And by golly, that's all you have. Holy crap. This is some pathetic shit. Now, I don't think it's quite, I don't think we can get away with posting the video on the site.
Right.
Because it's not something that's supposed to be viewed publicly, and I'm sure 3D Realms would freak the fuck out if that thing got... I mean, I know it's everywhere. You know it's everywhere. Our listeners sure in the fuck can probably get a hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of you anyway. But, you know, the general public isn't supposed to see this, and I don't want to, you know, get in any kind of trouble and hand-slapping or anything. So, the next email we have here... It's from Jeff Mann. It says, "The game I have waited 8 years to hear about. Not a long email. See how in my eyes no words could explain my joy when I found out. So I leave you with a two-word title that makes me want to change my pants. Stargate MMO. I just had a warm spot." Go change your pants. "Have a nice day. Only have a little info seeing how this was outed about 2 weeks ago." Now that was like February 1st about when this news came out, and now it's March 19th. However, there's still like shit for news out on this. I mean, there's nothing. And if you go to what I suppose is supposed to be the official website, stargateworlds.org, there is like nothing there. I mean, this looks like they basically took a template of a website, put a background with like stars on it so it looks like space, threw the Stargate logo on the top and called it a day.
Yeah, the website almost looks like it was like...
done by me. I'm terrible.
Like 10 years ago.
You know, right. This is like a 1996 GeoCities website.
Yeah.
I swear to God, that's what it looks like. I have no skills when it comes to this at all. I didn't do our site, hwhq.com, by the way, obviously. That was done professionally. But yeah, I mean, it was terrible. And there's like nothing there. There's like nothing there. But
now, I will say that it's a decent franchise to build an MMO on, I think. With the Stargate and moving to the different worlds, there's a lot
that's
that could be done.
Huge potential right
yeah.
there.
I will also say that I am personally getting kind of. I don't really think.
Say it.
Yeah, the trend.
Say it.
I don't think the trend of moving towards like movies and like DC Comics, they making one.
Star Trek.
I do not like this trend. I like the brand new content, a world that I've never seen or been to.
Right, right.
And I want to learn all about this brand new world.
They should call Star Trek Dimensions. Star Ooh. Trek Dimensions. You could call it STD. Wouldn't that be great? Like, now, what was the thing for Stargate? It's Stargate Worlds, SGW.
Yeah.
That's really close to SWG. This would give the lag radio guys more ammunition.
And hopefully it's good, because really the sci-fi people need a good MMO really bad.
They do, because Star Wars Galaxies is a friggin' joke. What's that guy's name again? Smedley.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Smedley, for fucking up Sony's MMOs.
I just had to say that. He doesn't seem to get it. Somebody needs to, like, slap this guy or something.
The problem with SOE is they take the 4 years or whatever it takes to make a real good MMO, and they got an idea, and they go with it, and they make it, and then it comes out, and, like, WoW comes out, and it's, like, kicking their ass, and so, oh, we're going to take 2 months to completely change it.
Yeah.
What we spent 4 years making.
Because this is obviously a better system. We can make our game like that real quick. The engine's done. Yeah. Let's whip it out. No, then they break their game is what ends up happening, in my opinion anyway. I think, personally, that's what... Now, I never played Star Wars Galaxies, but I was really a big fan of EverQuest 2. I thought it was just a great game. And from day one with the patches, it got worse. Every single patch fucked that game up more than the patch before it.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I couldn't play that game anymore. Anymore. Like, if I would have made the right choice... And I remember, didn't we say this on the show, or I think me? Maybe not. Where, next MMO I play... I absolutely must play the classes and take the trade skills I would never take, because I always pick the ones that suck, the ones that I find to be the most fun, you know, like alchemy, and, you know, and shit like that,
right.
You know, and the rogues and the thieves, the assassin type stuff always get screwed. If I would take a priest tailor from day one, I would be a millionaire, and I would be in every group, and I would have the fat gear, and I would enjoy myself, but I would hate playing a priest, but it wouldn't matter because it would be okay, because I would be fucking uber.
Right, and then you could twink out the cast.
I could twink out my thief and have a hell of a lot of fun just ripping through stuff. But you know what would happen? That would screw me up mentally. I'd be like, see how uber rogues are? I mean, it wouldn't occur to me that I would be using twinked-ass gear.
Right.
You know, I would just be like, see how fat they are? I didn't have this much easy of a time with my priest. You know, but I'm telling you, I swear to God, that's what I have to do. Now, you know, playing WoW now, I'm finding, again, I need nothing but warriors and you know, I'm having a hard time getting priests into groups. You know, there's the occasional druid, a lot more than it seems like there is priests. And I saw a website somewhere that kind of tracks how many classes of what are on every server, and I looked up Gorgonash, the server that I'm on, and it's like, there's like 4 times as many warriors, hunters, and rogues individually than there is, like, any other class.
Yeah.
Like, it's just retardedly, you know, just overstacked, and yet I can't find a warrior to save my life most of the time, so I don't know if it plays the other way around, where it's like, okay, there's so many warriors, so, you know, maybe they were so necessary they leveled up the quickest and got all the best gear the quickest, so now they won't do the low-end stuff.
Right.
You know, I really don't know how... There's some kind of a study here, I know that. You know what I mean? There's something that people need to look at. Like some kind of a... You know how they always say, they did a study on whatever. So they needs to go ahead and look at MMOs and tell us exactly what's going on here. Why is it certain classes are this way? Why is it, you know what I mean?
Right.
We need to hear from they. Because they are always right, you know, according to everyone.
Course.
Right, yeah, because they told them, somebody else.
Right.
That's what I think we need to know. Now, we have a giant friggin' email here. Oh, hey, I see Star Wars Galaxies is mentioned in it. I actually haven't had a chance to read these because we just didn't have that much time for preparation because I'm a lazy... Son of a bitch. Shut up, dog. All right. This is from Tommy, who I'm pretty sure I remember, like, thrashing the shit out of his email before. I apologize. I hope you're an atheist. All right. That's the title. Hi, C4PO and Cobar D2. Star Wars fans can get that. All right. It has been a long time since I dropped a note, so here we go again. Hey, you know, it's been a long time since we did a show, so here we go again. I hope you don't have as much problems reading them as the previous time. Do you perhaps write the emails over and you cannot read your own handwriting? No, sadly enough, I print them out. Let's see. Anyway, during your last show, you were a bit contradicting. Hey, I'm always contradicting. That's what I'm here for. Okay, first, you seem to like games with a great immersive story, yet you choose Doom 3 over Half-Life 2. Okay, Half-Life 2 still has amazing graphics and a really great story, so I really recommend that you play this game. Now, I'm going to stop there. I thought the Doom 3 story was all okay. Because for what it is, you know, you don't need that much dialogue in Doom 3. You don't need every 20 minutes, like Final Fantasy, an hour's video. You don't need that. It's an action game. So the story that you were provided, this is gonna blow people's nuts off. Okay, if you play Doom 3 properly, like I believe I did, in the dark, by myself, at night only, and listened to every voicemail message in that game, and read every email, there was story there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I felt too much. Because there would come a point where it's like, man, I've blown stuff away. I'm creeped out to no end. And now I have to sit here and pause, basically playing for a minute, and sit here and listen to the story for like a good maybe 2 or 3 minutes. They didn't talk very long because it was, you know, you had a little PDA and you could download other people's messages. So, like, you would answer their like voicemail, right? So what I would do is turn up my speakers, hit play on the voicemail, and go outside and have a cigarette while I listen to the storyline. Because it's not like there's a video. They had videos too, but only like maybe 5.
Right.
But most of there was a ton of like these voicemail things. And you got involved and you got wrapped up into it. It wasn't, Doom 3 wasn't supposed to be, you know, like, there's this whole huge story of blah, 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 and you can care all about the history of it. No. This is, it's happening right here and right now, and it's short and succinct and to the point. And I felt they did a great job of getting that through to you.
Yeah, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. When I'm playing an FPS or something that action-oriented, I don't want a lot of story. I love RPGs, and the reason I love them is for the story. But when I'm playing something like that, I don't want it.
You're playing for the gameplay.
I want to shoot people in the head.
Right. And I felt that the Doom 3 gameplay was just spectacular and had, like I said, a little bit too much story. I mean, it was enough because it was great. You followed the stuff and everything, but they needed to present it to you differently. Now, granted, a lot of people are probably going, oh, that's not true. You can do this. Okay, you can. You can turn the voicemails on and keep playing. But you ever try to shoot a gun and listen to a voicemail at the same time? Okay, you can't fucking hear it. So what would be the point? So I would just hit play on it and then just sit there in the office, you know, or whatever, and do, you know, something around the house, grab a soda or whatever, you know, and listen to the story, because I didn't like walking around. However, wasn't it, I think in Quake 4, it would just kind of come over your radio, and that was kind of cool, because but you felt like a soldier. You were supposed to be a soldier. It was supposed to be that you can't hear it all the time.
Right.
You know, there was shit happening, and it was live coming into you. You didn't stop and play it later. Anyway, let's see. Also, Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, and Street Fighter are all great games, but not exactly known for their great stories. Well, right. The Tetris story is fantastic.
But again, different genres require different levels of story.
Right, absolutely. I mean, honest to God, in Super Mario Brothers, your princess is in another castle. Sums it up.
Yeah.
Okay, shit, she ain't here. Let's move on. I don't want to sit here and watch this long storyline. But and if I was...
Again, we're playing an action game where it's right. All about, like, moving
an
around.
Action side-scroller. Yeah. Could you imagine playing Contra and having to break for a half-an-hour video every now and again?
Yeah. No.
What the hell? That would kill the flow of the game. It's just a different game. A Tetris is a puzzle game. There's not supposed to be a story, so that doesn't count. And Street Fighter...
If there is, I would laugh.
Right? You know, there probably is.
Oh, probably.
I bet there is, and we just don't know what it is. Holy crap. And Street Fighter is it's a fighting game. There's no, mm-hmm. There's not supposed to be a deep, involved story, yet there is. If you've ever paid attention, there's a story to Street Fighter. They made movies off of it, and I'm not saying they're good. I'm saying they're there, right. Okay?
Well, and there should be enough to, like, tell you why you're there.
Right,
there
and
should be
does.
Enough to, like, hold the game elements together.
And it does, you know.
But beyond that.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, he's saying, okay, right, well, you know, he's agreeing. They're great games. You know, Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, Street Fighter, fantastic games, not known for great stories. Right, they're different kinds of games, though. Mm-hmm. Show me a I'm going to get in trouble. Okay, all right, next. But I think you tried to say that one of the many ways to have a great gameplay is to have a great story. Right, in some games, not every game. Right. Okay, I mean, granted, you do not have to have a fantastic game. You know, what's a good example is Champions of Norrath. Okay, I've beaten that game like 12 times. I friggin' love that game, and I have no idea what happens in it. I have no idea. All I know is that I press start and then some bitch talks to me and I just skip through it.
Right.
You know? And then
I chop
stuff up into little, you know, pieces. And then I get loots and I kill a boss guy and then I move on and do it over and over again. You know, hey, it's, you know, that's just, but it works for that kind of game. You know, definitely. Now, since you started playing WoW, I tried to test out some MMORPGs as well. Also, I am cheap, so I only tried the trial versions. Well, that's fine. That's, you know, we have to get around doing that here, because we're cheap, because we're broke.
Yeah.
Okay. Star Wars, believe God, could you imagine if we just had, like, funds for the show? They'd be like, all right, here's, even something small, like, here's $1,000 for the month for the show. Now do this. And it's like, dude, we can play games till our fucking eyeballs fall out for a month. That'd be just awesome. We could play all kinds of hardware. We could do hardware reviews of gaming gear. Like, I wanted to talk about the new GeForce 7900 series this week, but I read, like, half of the stuff and then, like, I got all kinds of distracted by something stupid and just, like, never got back to it.
It's so tough reading that crap.
No. I like it. I love it.
But I was specs, you understand what the hell they're trying to say?
For the most part, it's just, you know, are those numbers bigger than those numbers on older card? Yes, okay. What kind of slot does it fit into? Great. Do they have new drivers for it? Awesome. And I'll actually, maybe a lot of people don't do this, though, but I guess it's a weird mix I have. I know a lot of people that are strictly gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Strictly. They cannot fucking operate a computer to save their lives, but they're some of the best Street Fighter players I've ever met.
Right.
Okay? I know plenty of geeks. Can't fucking control Mario to save their lives, but they could write a fucking driver for your, you know, printer if you couldn't find one online real quick.
Right.
Okay? I fit square in the middle somehow, it seems like. I play a shitload of games, and I get off on the technology end of stuff and know all kinds of weird, useless crap about computers. And love it, though. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I fail as a human. I can't focus on one thing and do it at 100%. I do different things at half. And I really think... Anyway, yeah, I have issues. So, Star Wars Galaxies. I really like Star... Wait, oh, science fiction? Science fiction here, not Street Fighter. He put SF. That's
right.
See, that was for me. Because... I see SF and I think of Street Fighter. I really like SF, science fiction here, not Street Fighter, and the SW universe. Now, that would be Star Wars. But I couldn't get into the game. Graphics are okay, but nothing spectacular. I didn't get spaceflight. The way they implemented it is like crap, which otherwise could be really fun. The missions aren't too bad, but seem so silly. Kill A, get B, and bring to C. It felt like everything was on rails. Now, I must tell you, out of the, you know, there's like, oh yeah, World of Warcraft has like 4,000 quests. Guess what? They're all kill A, get B, bring to C.
Well,
almost all of them.
Of the 12 billion quests there are in these games altogether, 99% of them are kill A, get B.
All of them. Yeah, it's terrible. It really is. I mean, we need something more. Now, Grant, you've got to have your quests like that, but, you know, there is a lot they could do to mix it up. Let's see. EverQuest 2 Trial of the Isle. Oh, wait a minute. You know, I wanted to talk about his spaceflight thing. He said, I didn't get spaceflight. The way they implemented it is like crap. I don't think you said you heard it yet, but the last, not the last one because it's a new one, but maybe like the two shows ago of Lag Radio,
mm-hmm.
They mentioned, I think they mentioned something about the space flight there, I think.
Getting
and they
changed?
Said, no, they said something about it's like not like actual 3D space flight. I think it was like on a, God, I can't remember now. Like you wouldn't be able to like have like giant battles in space.
Right.
Like, you would just come side along somebody. Like, and they, I remember somebody mentioning something about, like, Star Trek, how they never used, like, the third dimension in their space combat or whatever.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure they were talking about this. Maybe they were talking about Star Trek Online or something. But...
So it might as well have been, like, a land continent with different textures.
Right, exactly, which is hella stupid, because I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how fat would an MMO be if it was, like, a flight sim in space? I could get behind
Earth and
that.
Beyond.
Okay.
It's a piece of crap.
But it could be done right, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I could probably see me getting behind that. I could be the captain of my own starship and whatnot. That'd be friggin' awesome. And hire a crew and have... I think that would be way cool. Not in Star Wars, though. I would hate it.
Right.
Bunch of Star Wars fucking nerds running around. My God, they're almost worse than the BattleNet kids. I swear to God. EverQuest 2.
Oh, we're gonna
trial.
Get so much hate mail.
Oh, EverQuest 2 Trial of the Isle. I chose to be some defiler rat guy, which I named Chipmunk. The graphics looked good, especially the water. Yeah, the graphics are fucking spectacular in EverQuest mm-hmm. 2. Turn it up. Fire the trial back up. Turn it up to like, you can't go to the Uber one. It like kicks your ass. Like your computer won't move anymore. But like the one below that. And it's just spectacular. I mean, it looks real. It's crazy.
Or you can turn it up all the way and get, like, still frames.
Right, right, yeah, and take great screenshots for it.
You can see it.
Yeah, that's basically what I did when I played, too. He, in fact, goes on here with the same video card. I have an NVIDIA 6800, but still make sure that you manually turn on all the options. It does not auto-detect, else it will look like Street Fighter 3D. Yeah, I went through mine, too, by hand, had to change a lot of stuff, and I made that game look great, but it kind of ran like ass. Still, you know, I mean, it was crazy. The quests are basically the same. Kill A, get B, bring to C. Though they made more sense. Also, there were more starters here. So already after three quests, I was in a group, which really is what MMOs are all about. Also, why can't they give people normal names like Bob and Jill? Why do they think I remember names like Thuxil, Thuxyl, or Thuxil, whatever?
It's a role-playing game.
Otherwise, you wind up with shit like these idiots on BattleNet, you know, where their names are like sentences.
Yeah.
You know, like fucking, I don't know, some you can use your imagination there. It happens all the time. Okay. Page Deuce. So, what is the conclusion here? Star Wars equals EQ2. It's the same engine, but EQ2 looks better, probably since it is more outdoors. EQ2 seems a bit more mature also. I like the GUI better in EQ2. For me, the big difference was playing together with others in quests. That's the fun bit for me. So I asked my brother, who is a big MMO fan, he plays World of Warcraft, City of Heroes, Ragnarok, and Lineage 2, if World of Warcraft was something for me. Apparently he was a warlock, and you need to charge to cast spells. If you get interrupted or when you're not facing the enemy, you have to start over. Right. So what he's talking about is it's channeling the spell. So you click spell and it goes, it's like a little meter and it goes up and it says channeling. If you get hit, it goes down a little bit, but you keep channeling. So like, you know, if you're uninterrupted, say it takes you 1 second to cast a spell. If a mob hits you and it kind of interrupts your cast, your channel goes down a little bit. So maybe it takes you a second and a half to cast.
Actually,
a channeling will get interrupted?
No, what a channeling spell is, let's say it's going to last for 3 seconds if you're not getting hit.
Oh, okay.
If you get hit, a chunk of that goes away. And now your channeling spell will only last for 2.5 seconds.
Oh, okay. Okay. Could you tell I don't play a warlock and never have? I've got a mage, though. So, okay, so there we go. if it's behind you, right. So this is a big problem I have with World of Warcraft, I've noticed. If I attack a mob, like if I shoot it or whatever, and it charges me, it tends to run through me.
Yeah.
You know, and
it
kind of
back around.
Well, and then it tells me I'm not facing the enemy and I'm not close enough to hit it, yet it's still stabbing me and it's inside of me. Mm-hmm. You know, this, so I always, like every mob I fight, I shoot it, it rushes me, and I have to back, like tap my backup key, like S, just like a little bit, so I back up so I can stab the damn thing again. It's so retarded. Anyway, yeah, but see, now with mages though, the mobs will run the same idea. But you can at least spin yourself around to face the mob again. Because if you're not facing the direction by the time your spell casts, you fail the spell. Mm. You just have to face the direction of the mob. That's what he's talking about there. He complained that assassins could walk through you, backstab you while your back is... Wait, while his back is turned on you. Then you get interrupted and you can never cast a spell and lose all the time. Are the characters really that unbalanced? King Imbalanced here is about to come forth and have a little moment on the show. I will tell you right now, as it stands, that game is incredibly imbalanced. Right, okay? Honest to God, they have tweaked that game every single patch. Rogues get nerfed. There is one thing they change, minimum, every patch since release that nerfs rogues. The next thing they're doing is they're limiting the number of times you hit other mobs when you use Blade Flurry. That's retarded. The whole point of your 20-second skill that you put 20 or 25 points into that tree for is so you can swing your sword and hit like two guys at the same time if you get mobbed on. Mm. They're limiting it to allowing you to hit the other mob 3 times now, max. Because, oh my god, a rogue could actually kill something. But, and the 1.10 patch is coming up. They're totally revamping, holy crap, priests this time around, which are already way too friggin' burly. Right? Warlocks, okay? Bullshit on the warlocks. Here's what happens when you fight a warlock. Sneaky rogue walks up and they can't one-shot him anymore because they were recently nerfed again. And they hit the warlock. And the warlock hits his little macro that does fear?
Death coil.
Death coil? Is that the first one? It's death coil. And then they plant like 12 dots on you. So now you're taking like fucking 500 points of damage every second. Okay? Once the death coil, which is short, it's like, what,
three seconds?
Yeah, okay. Runs off, which you're basically running away from the guy. And you head towards him again. He hits his little fear button. Now, mind you, these dots are still counting down. Now you run away for like 10 seconds.
Can be up to 20.
Oh, yeah, right. Cause, yeah.
But it gets interrupted by damage.
Damage, right. But they don't hit you. They just dot you. But the dots don't count. The dots don't count. I get dotted, and I run forever, get taking damage. So now I have to run all the way back to this warlock who's fucking dotted me, right? And right when I get to him, guess what he gets to do again? Fear me again. Okay, honest to God, the only person a rogue can really kill with any ease in this game is another rogue. The only class that, or the only way that they can act. In fact, there was a post on the fucking forum today, on the rogues forum, that hit the nail right on the fucking head. It was crazy. The guy pointed out, okay, Blizzard's defense, I don't know if you've ever looked into the forums or heard any of the rogues bitching and whatnot. Everybody told me that rogues were super fat in this game. And on day one, they were. Mm-hmm. But since day one, every single patch has fucked them up. I got a buddy who's like one of the best rogues on the server, honest to God. And all he does is get fucking shafted. Every single fucking time there's a patch, he has to like completely redo his character to try to make his character usable again. Right. You know, full epic gear, the best of the best. This is all this guy does, is like the fat Uber raids all day, and he's been playing forever. Okay, like since release. And he's this the bomb, and yet he fucking gets his ass beat a lot of the time by... Okay, when a 60 rogue can get smoked by a 30 hunter, there's something wrong.
A 60 rogue in Uber elite gear.
That 40 hunter. A 30 hunter probably wouldn't be able to take him. But I watched a rogue in average gear, you know, the occasional blue, mostly greens. That's what
I thought you were still talking about the
friend. No. I watched him get killed by, it was a 28 hunter out in Duskwood. I couldn't believe it.
Dang.
I just watched this guy just get just plowed. And I was like, yeah, they're telling me rogues aren't fucking gimp, right? There's so many things wrong with the rogue class.
Yeah, with that,
it's not
with
even
that kind
fair.
Of level, it doesn't matter how dumb you
he
are.
Shouldn't
you
shouldn't even
be
able
to.
Right. He could basically one or two shot the guy. You know, I would love to say he could probably one-shot him, but he's a rogue, so he probably can't. You know, a warrior, here's another great example. I jumped a warrior that I apparently was AFK, sat there for 30 seconds just beating the fuck out of this guy. I lost. It's that bad. It's so fucking unbalanced in this game. And that's not to say it's just rogues are having, I mean, they're useless. Rogues are useless. PvE, they're fantastic. PvP, they better fight another rogue or they're going to get smoked. Try to fight a hunter and tell me what happens to you. Try to fight a warrior. You can't beat anybody but another rogue. It's friggin' retarded. Unless the other class sucks. Like, unless the player has, like, no skills.
Right.
Like, whatsoever at all. So anyway, like, you just don't do the damage to him. It's fucking retarded. But PvE, rogues actually seem to do pretty good. That's why everybody has one. They use it to farm. You know? Simply put. PvE, oh my god, I would play any class but a rogue. And right now I would play a hunter, because they're super overpowered right now. Look at anywhere, and they talk about how great they are, and it's retardedly how powerful they are. Anyway. Okay, carrying on with the email, he switches topics here to EVE Online. Anyway, that leads to EVE Online. It's a space MMORPG, the EVE Online story. He is convinced that an MMO is at its best when everybody is in character. In EVE, there were two clans, guilds, or whatever, merchants and assassins. Okay, this is two different opposing factions. Merchants were big and rich, and the assassins really small. There was a big bounty of, I believe, 10 million credits on the head of a merchant guy. The assassins had a couple of their guys infiltrate the merchants during the period of a year. That's like 12 months. After a year, they managed to get the head merchant guy to a remote location where they killed him, slaughtered most of the other merchants, and took most of their money, much more than that puny bounty. Now that is evil. That is a fiendish. That is fiendish, and that is a great way to play a game. So that's pretty cool. If they have two different sides, I guess, that you can play on this.
This is actually something players decided to do.
I guess, somebody must have put a bounty on it. Probably the game had a bounty on the head guy if you could kill him or whatever. But to do that, you couldn't raid it. You couldn't zerd the place with, you know, 50 assassins. You couldn't do it, I guess. But to spend a year trying to lure the head guy out to some place, that's fucking hardcore.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So the moral of the story is that backstabbing sucks, but when you do it like that in EVE, that just makes a great experience. So perhaps I should check out Huxley. Do you know anything about that? Looks great, in my opinion. No, never.
I've never even heard
never
of it.
Yeah, me neither. Okay,
isn't that a skateboard shoe company?
Yeah, it sounds like it. I've heard the name before. I thought they made t-shirts or shirts or something, too, yeah. Don't they? Hurley. That's what I'm thinking
maybe,
of, yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, Saw 2. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a good movie. It would be great if you didn't see Saw 1, because now everything becomes a bit predictable, but still isn't, but it just feels like more of the same. I'm actually going to talk about that a little bit later in the show here, because I did finally get to see it. I believe I heard you say that The Transporter is a great movie. Did someone threaten you to kill their dog or something? I liked the first one.
Yeah,
I didn't.
The Transporter was awesome.
The first one. Yeah. I didn't watch the second one, so I don't know.
The second one was, you know, okay. It didn't stack up to the first one, but it was still a decent action flick.
I'll have to watch that. Let's see. Somebody came with the dog. That was a dumb movie. It's easy to bitch about the part where two cars hit each other and they massively explode, like somebody dropped a bomb on Hiroshima, or the part where he can't drive because there's one guy too much in his car. But I found the following part to be the dumbest. Transporter and Thugger in a bar to negotiate the transport. Transporter gets out a pencil and paper and asks for its weight. Thug says 50 kilograms. Transporter carefully writes this down to enter into his computer model for his car trip. Transporter asks, dimensions? Thug says 1.5, he just put M there. What is that? Meters? He just put M. It's not that big.
No,
it's tiny. 50 centimeters times 50 centimeters. Transporter again writes every detail down. Transporter asks, destination? Thug says, Rue Days somewhere. Can't remember the name. Transporter again writes this down. Transporter asks, is that all? Thug says, Oi, which is, yes, transporter burns the note he just took great effort to write. What the fuck? Thug, you take things very seriously. Transporter says, transporting is a serious business. He says, me, you are morons. Anyway, movies I saw and liked are Domino and Where the Truth Lies. Both had good original stories. Same should have applied for the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but it sucked big time. Still, I can really recommend the book. So that's all I have to rant. As always, be contradictive and offensive. That makes a great show, Tommy. All right, now I actually saw Domino also. We actually had a lot of stuff to talk about for movies this show, too. So basically,
it's the end more show.
This is definitely the end more show. This is going to be email and more entertainment radio. Okay, this one is from Super Sin Sin. Dear C4 and Kobar, I heard a rumor that Nintendo will give the SDK, that's the System Developers Kit, for the Revolution for free to all game developers. Do you guys know if it is true? If it is, I think this is a great step to get more games and more support. I love your show, guys. Hugs and kisses from Super Sinsen, a listener from Norway. That's awesome. All right. I called up the head of Nintendo myself, and I have his personal cell phone. Taking a crap when I called, so I had to call him back. And anyway, he let me in on... So what I think I know about this anyway is I didn't hear they were for free, but virtually for free. Now, that being really cheap. the cost of the PlayStation 2 development kit, I guess, was $20,000. Holy shitballs. Yeah. That's a lot of fucking money.
Although it's not really all that much money for, the down payment towards making games.
Right, right. I mean, that should be a pittance, right?
Right.
I guess the original, half the original, was 4,000, I guess, or it was either 10,000 or 4,000 for the PlayStation 1, the dev kit. The Revolution dev kit, my understanding was it's $2,000.
That's what I heard too.
Okay. So that's virtually free for these dudes. If it's something I could afford, it's virtually free to people like this. Okay. Right. So this is something I could buy if I saved my pennies for like 8 years.
Nintendo is not generally in the practice of taking a loss.
Yeah, you're right. They're not.
So
they end up always making money on their hardware.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is kind of peculiar.
So I seriously doubt, it can't cost more than $2,000 for a dev kit.
No, probably not, no. I mean, it's essentially the same damn thing without the locks in place.
Right. There might be a little more to it, but it's certainly not going to be a $2,000 machine.
Right, no, yeah. I mean, look at what our computers can do. If you're going to tell me that that can't make a Revolution game, and it's going to cost $20,000, yeah, I'm going to get something else. You know, I'll develop for the 360 or something.
Yeah.
Okay, multiplayer games, the future. This was kind of a topic on that we mentioned a couple month and a half ago or so. Dear C4 Kobar and all hot chicks that are in your studio right now, we have the Swedish bikini team here hanging out with Chuck Norris in the hot tub. So say wave, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, on your last show, episode 113, I heard you discuss this proclamation that multiplayer games were the future and that single-player games would become extinct. Yeah, right. Single-player games give you something that multiplayer games cannot, the chance to be the main hero, to have all attention focused on you and you alone. You single-handedly saved the kingdom. You defused the nuke. You used the cat as a silencer and then killed mobs of innocent children. You. Multiplayer simply cannot deliver a world whereby all attention is focused on you and you alone. Plus, how scary would Doom 3 or Fear be if it wasn't you and you alone walking those hallways, but you and your 64 pals? Not very. Absolutely. Absolutely. Single-player gaming's not dead. And I believe, I don't remember now if I was talking about MMOs strictly, or RPGs strictly.
You may have had
It's been a long time. I think that's what happens, is I think that and just don't ever say it, that I'm talking about RPGs. And how I feel that the genre's evolving. You know, now as far as like Doom 3 or Fear, that would, you know, kind of blow ass if it was trying to be a scary game where you're sneaking through there and all that stuff. But they're designed to be a scary game. A game that had 64 people that was played like Doom obviously wouldn't design to be too terribly scary because you would, you know, I mean, it just doesn't work that way. Like he points out here, obviously not. But it would be a pretty cool, pretty goddamn cool 64 cooperative player. Like, imagine, okay, Starship Troopers, the movie. Imagine if you were one of the humans on that planet fighting those bugs. That would be way cool. And the rest of the people were players? Mm-hmm. That would be a blast to me.
It would be cool.
You know, I think that would make for a great game. I think it would be fantastic. But right. I mean, single-player games aren't going to die.
I don't really think single-player RPGs are on the way out either. I mean, like you said, there's the whole thing about you being the savior of the world. That's never going to happen in MMO.
No, but I still think that way, though. When I play a game like EverQuest 2, it's me. You know what I think? I think this, my character kicks ass. You know, it's like I go with a group of people, let's say, to go kill a boss or whatever. And people say, oh, wow, you guys are awesome. But I think, like, in my head, though, it still translates as, like, fucking, I was part of that. That was, like, you know, me and some other dudes.
Right.
You know, whatever. Fucking, you know, friends of mine and all. We kicked some serious ass. It still feels like it's at least about you. Now, granted, it's not a single-handed thing, but, you know, I'm only so selfish, you know. Not completely self-absorbed. I'm working on it. I'm trying. That's the goal. That's the goal. I'm working on it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, watch House. Okay? My father has his own TV show. This is my mentor here. The greatest show on TV. Okay. Up next, we have an email on D-Pads, the Nintendo 20th anniversary, and Gigawing 2 from Fighter17. Hey, C4 and Kobar, you were talking about Street Fighter Alpha 3 Max for the PSP in the last show related to the D-Pad thing. Remember that little thing I was talking about that goes over it?
Right.
So it makes it not suck ass? Well, the D-Pad thing actually came with the Japanese version. The Japanese version. The Japanese version. Not the United States version. Of Street Fighter Alpha 3 Max. So if you want to have the special D-pad, you must import the game from Japan. Not to mention I can kick your ass with X-Ism Ryu. Bring it, bitch. All right, I will kick your X-Ism's Ryu bitch ass right out the door with what do I use? I can't remember anymore. It's been so the green one. The old standard one. God, right. Like C-Ism, I think, is what it is. Like, God, it's been a long time since I played. Anyway, because I didn't use it back in the day. That was an alpha thing that was added, and I just used the default one.
No isms?
I'm own-ism. Alright. Anyway, GameSpot.com has a special on the 20th anniversary of the Nintendo Entertainment System US launch. My god, the times flew by fast. I'm not into the Nintendo Entertainment System that much, but I'm still saying fuck when playing Ninja Gaiden on the NES. In the feature, they were talking about everybody's favorite movie, The Wizard. Oh my god. Then it was the Power Glove, lol. And the horrible cover arts. Mega Man 2, anyone? Anyway, I'm gonna buy this game for the Dreamcast called Gigawing 2. This was one of the last games Capcom published for the Dreamcast. It's the sequel to the first Gigawing. Oh, whoa.
Really?
That's fucking deep. A really, really fucking hard bullet hell 2D shoot 'em up. Gigawing 2 is the same thing, but with different planes and 3D graphics, but the 2D gameplay is still there. This game loves to kick your ass. With almost 300 bullets on the screen at once and going fast as well, if you ever played Mars Matrix for the Dreamcast, Gigawing is related to that game because it was made by the same people. The one thing that I just can't get over is the price. The game came out in the States with a price tag of only $20. Today, on eBay and the forums, $20 gives you only the disc. $40 is the regular price for the game if it's complete, which is what I'm paying. That's a lot of money for a used game, but heck, if the game is good, why not? Many games are becoming like this, cheap when it came out and doubles in value a few years later. Watch some videos and screenshots of Gigawing 2 to see why this game is fucking hard. If you want to beat it on one credit, which is how you beat a shoot 'em up. Let's see, Mars Matrix and Gigawing are emulated through MAME, so try it out. Oh yeah, I'm good in the first Gigawing. I can get to stage 5. All my friends said I'm God. I don't have the best English skills, but oh well, Fighter 17. And that was pretty well written. That was okay. I didn't stumble and stutter too much, and if I did, it was my own fault. Good deal. Yeah, actually, I'm a big fan of shooting games like that. There was a time where that's all I played.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, there was a time where all I played was Street Fighter, and all I played was an RPG, and you know, I bounce around a lot, and I like to play just a little bit of everything. I played fucking Tactical Ops for like 2.5 years, okay? There's something fucking wrong with me. Me and Hunter, that's all we fucking played with these little cheating bastards.
Now, with the eBay thing, I mean, that's just the way it is with anything. Something comes to the States, it's in limited supply. You want it, you're going to pay a little extra for it. It's right. The whole collector thing. I
exactly.
Mean,
it's the same reason
it
why...
It really has nothing to do with video games.
No. I've paid a... Right, exactly. Look at older... Well, it's kind of a bad example now, but comic books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a while there was a really popular thing because there was limited supply. Bam, they were a collector's item. You know, like the original Superman. Look how much that's worth. Look at the original issue of Spider-Man. You know, I mean, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people like Hades that collect that sort of thing.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. He's got, like, rooms full of old shit that you never see anywhere. It's just the coolest stuff in the world to see, you know? And it's like, I have, like, you know, like one of my favorite games of all time is Final Fantasy VI. So the version that was out on the PS1, the one that, what was it, part of the anthology set or whatever?
Yeah, whichever one.
Right.
I don't remember.
I didn't own that because I didn't have a PlayStation. Because I hated the damn thing. Everybody I knew had one. If I wanted to play a game, I'd check it out over there and go home and play, you know, in Nintendo 64, Dreamcast, whatever I wanted to play. So I never got some of the cool stuff that I did want from that. So there came a point when I did want just to own the anthology set. And I went and I bought it on eBay, and it was like $75.
Woo.
Yep, I had to, and I paid it too. Now I also have the, they re-release it, of course, after I go ahead and pay it for $70.
Yeah.
And now it's $20 again. But, you know, hey, I have an original, brand new, sealed mint condition.
Right.
You know, which is pretty cool. And then I have, and it's still sealed. And I have an open one now that was like $20. And you know what? I might even have two. I might have bought two of them so I could play one. That's what I think I did. I bought one, played it, bought another one so I had one sealed, because I do that. I'm weird. And then they released the greatest hits version, and I think I bought one or two of those too. Yeah, that's like fucking almost $200 in the same goddamn game, and I owned the Nintendo 64.
But again, that's not weird either, because collectibles and that sort of thing, you want them sealed, like action figures.
Right, right.
They cost a lot more when they're still in the original factory packaging.
Yeah, because in good shape, and they take into account the condition of the box even.
Right.
Not just the unit, you know, the toy. It's crazy. Oh, Jeff Mann writes in with more Electronic Arts Battlefield 2 crap. Dear C4 and co-host Bar, in a follow-up to my Battlefield 2 Euroforce email, I now email to tell you that the boost pack has gone from having to have the EA download installed and running and being now a month late in releasing to play the damn thing to now you have to pay. This is like one giant sentence.
Nice.
Pay Alexander Hamilton, the dude on the $10 bill, for this free boost pack that EA told us we would get. I think there's no capital letters in here either. I think they had a meeting with the guys over at EverQuest on expansion pack marketing tactics. All right, we will see where this goes in the next few weeks. Their new release date of March, so we will be playing it about sometime in June. As for me, I will play from someone else's PC trying to get the game and download it before it comes anywhere near my PC or wallet. Also, cool shit for your PSP. GTA 1.5, gotta love it. If only the game wasn't so damn hard to play on a PSP because aiming problems. A new PSP app called MPH 2.0 Loader for 1.5 lets you play 2.0 ISOs on a 1.5 PSP, and I have been told it works on some UMDs also, but from some ISOs you must first open it in an ISO editor, and PRX2_0_0 folder, at least with the GTA version you do, but all I'm really waiting for is Initial D PSP with working 1.5 loader.
Now I wonder how you keep...
That was like two sentences. That was crazy.
That's really slick, but I wonder how you keep the 2.0 games from installing the firmware.
It detects that you have it already. I think what it does is it loads the 2.0 firmware. But, like, loads it into memory, not is on the firmware, on the chip,
right?
So it loads it into memory, so the game says, can I decode this kind of video? Oh, yeah, then you have the 2.0 firmware, so you don't need to install it. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. So I know they added, like, video codecs to, like, 2.0 or something.
I gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Up next, we have some... Oh, Jesus. Is this the one I saved last? Fuck. Submission for the long... We're only an hour into the show, almost. 50 minutes already of me talking. Jesus. Submission for the longest email ever contest from... I wanted to make sure which one of these is his handle. Of course he doesn't... Madar, yeah. Madar. All right. I actually planned on doing a movie review, but this turned into a fucking novel, so it will have to wait. Feel free to edit it down if you like. Yeah, I really should. If you don't read the Nintendo interview, get it here. Oh, crap. I should have tiny URL'd that. It's like some huge giant thing on Engadget. It says, interview Reggie Phil's AIME... executive vice president. Oh, but there's like missing ENT or the NT on the word president. Anyway, man, I've got a wicked case of revolution fever. Dear C4, Cobart et al. When I was a kid, we had Pong at my house. Yes, really, with those Rheostat dial controllers even. And you know what? I played the hell out of it. I eventually graduated to an Atari and began spending a good part of my Saturday afternoons in a grubby bowling alley pumping quarters into arcade games. Christmases came and went along with the NES, Super NES, and the Nintendo 64, technically my little brothers. But... But alas, my That was great. But alas, by this point, I was getting too old to be living in my parents' house, and so out into the cold, cruel world I ventured, completely turning my back on video games. Now, some 30 years later, I find myself pining to recapture my past glory of pwning noobs on Spy Hunter at the local pizzeria. So recently, I've turned to my trusty PC on a quest. No, not to save my girlfriend, but to save... but a quest for gaming goodness. Let's see. Now I admit to having spent a few months killing spiders and fletching arrows in EQ1, yawn, but as I've completely turned my back on Microsoft at this point in life, I am now forced to take a serious look at the world of Linux games. You may recall that I wrote in on this subject a few months back. Yes, I do. However, the point I want to get back to is this. I truly enjoyed playing Golden Age games like Indiana Jones, Hero for the Atari, Mario, Zelda, at all. Why do I enjoy them? Because they were new and every game was different and fun in its own unique way. Sure, the graphics were crap and there were copycats even way back then, but in general these games were fun to play. The sequel syndrome you've been addressing in recent shows comes from a world where video card manufacturers and media companies tell us what a game should be. Okay, I'm sure that if I was to shell out 500 clams for a console, I'd damned well be expecting some nut-blowing graphics, but I think most of your audience would agree that what really makes a game fun has very little to do with the amount of polygons it pushes. The original Zelda was fun because it was, for many, the very first time they entered into a world of non-linear exploration. I'm going to stop right there because I have never heard a more true statement in my world, in my entire life. That's it, right there. The original Zelda was fun because it was, for many, the very first time they entered into a world of non-linear exploration. I remember thinking that very not in those words, but when I was a kid, thinking to myself, I have never experienced this before.
That's a lot of what made EQ what it was for me.
Right, right.
I didn't even know it was an online game when I bought it. Plop. Oh, hell.
Right? Where's that feeling, though, is what I want to know. That, holy shit, I've never done anything like this before. You know?
Well, you're older. You've done more. There's more has been done in the gaming world.
That's very true. But, I mean, like, every now and again I get surprised with something still. Let's just find something that's just fantastic. Like even, like, I remember when 3D, when I saw my first video game, it was Quake, rendered on a graphics card that did actual 3D. I think Wolf had a 3D effects Voodoo card. What was the original ones? It was just Voodoo 1, but was it called something weird? Like, Banshee was the weird hybrid card. But that was in the Voodoo 3 era.
I never
era.
Had a Voodoo.
Okay.
I had a Diamond Viper.
Oh, okay, right. But the first time I saw that, though, with not just hella chunky pixels in my little game pushing along there, and I saw nice, smooth-looking textures with, you know, a dedicated video hardware-accelerated piece, that was another mind-blowing thing that happened to me. Anyway, this is actually an excellent email that I'm not going to screw up anymore, and I'm not going to poison it. It may not seem like much by today's standards, but this was one of the first decent games out there available in the home that did not force you to walk, run, and jump in the same direction for the entire game. I remember thinking, fuck me, you can go wherever you want here. This is so cool. Sure, you had to follow the storyline to make progress, but for many, this was their first experience of freedom in a game. Remember your very first warp zone of Mario, a completely alien concept at the time? I felt like a virtual frickin' god. Point being that all the wet dream graphics in the world will never make up for a stale story, monstrous levels, and redundant enemies. What I believe we all truly crave more than anything else from a game is novelty. The problem is that today kids are growing up in a world where the limitations we knew as children no longer exist. I don't think the developers at Blizzard spend too much time fretting over stuff like how we can make it look like the little guy swinging on a vine over an alligator, because there are no limits to overcome. Companies feel they have no real reason to look for ways to do things differently. The only thing they see worth focusing on development efforts on is making games appear to be more realistic. I can't count how many times I've heard you guys say things like, what they really should have done was this or that, when reviewing commercial games on the show. Unfortunately, it pretty much takes rioting in the streets to get modern gaming companies to fix their bugs, let alone consider the following up on user-submitted ideas. Enter the slightly gimped, pun intended, world... That's actually funny, trust me. World of Linux gaming. Believe it or not, there's... have you ever heard of GIMP, the image editing tool?
No.
Okay, okay. Alright, believe it or not, there's actually some really fun Linux games out there. Yeah, sure, the graphics may not be up to the standards of the Xbox 720 or the PS9, and yes, many of them lack full development, but what matters is these are real games made by real people. They're anything but the mildly interactive television that is doled out spoonful at a time by media-owning companies owned by gaming conglomerates. Linux game developers have next to zero alternative motives. They don't care about selling sugar water or tennis shoes, and they aren't in a hurry to release insert title here 2007. All they care about is building the best game that they can. The Linux community has a way of locking on the projects and driving them to fruition on little more than caffeine, stale pizza, and kind words. And it's only a matter of time before they will band together behind a good gaming idea and put together something completely new and fun to boot. Seriously, it will happen, and together we can make it happen sooner. The absolute best thing Linux games have going for them is that they are made by actual people who respond to feedback in a human fashion. Do you think it would be better if they did blank? Great. Write to the developer. If they like your idea, it very well may show up in the next release. What I'm trying to get across here is that we all need to embrace these small human games and present their developers with as much encouragement and useful feedback as we can give them, because waiting around for the corporations to begin producing fun games again is an exercise in absolute futility. The question should not be, why are there no great games for Linux? The question should be, what will the world be like when the only games available are brought to us by Sony, Time Warner, and McNike? Well, no, that's one company. Sony, Time Warner, McNike. Wow, that was way too long. Sorry about that. Peace, Madar. M-A-D-A-R. I'm probably not pronouncing it right. Let's see. P.S. suggestion. How about trying to bring on a developer or two from one of the more interesting projects out there? Legends, Plane Shift, Neverball, etc. I imagine some of those folks would jump at the opportunity to promote their work. It's not likely they are locked down by an NDA like every other game developer in the world. VPS, I finally got Neverwinter Nights up and running per your suggestion. It seems a pretty nice game, but I haven't had the time to fully check it out. It's too bad Atari BioWare have decided to ditch OpenGL for Neverwinter 2. Fuckers. And that's something that we were bitching about before, is that it's basically going to be next to impossible unless they redo all the graphics end of it to run on anything but Windows, which is really stupid. Whew, that was a mouthful, but that was
a pretty good email.
That was one hell of an email. What? Okay. People. This is an email. Remember that, okay? They don't necessarily need to be that long, but everything is spelled right, well written, grammatically correct.
There's these little dots on there called periods.
There's commas, exclamation points. Large words, it's fantastic. I mean, I'm a happy camper now. This is hope for this world, right here, okay? Compared to the jackasses that I deal with all day long. I've started marking people's papers at work on their notes. Just notes, you know, like it's that bad that I like freak out. Holy crap, okay, it's been 1 hour now.
Uh-oh.
I am done talking. I am going to lose my freaking mind. And we have 3 pages of notes here. My God. If we could get every email like this, maybe not so long, though. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that we had a lot of email that were really long this week, and some that were really short, just quite a few. That would be absolutely fantastic. This is so easy to read and nice, has great suggestions, great exact fucking points. But since I'm going to try to tie this all into one thing here, per the suggestion, how about trying to bring on a developer or two from some of the more interesting projects out there, with Legends, Planeshift, Neverball, blah, blah, blah. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. We're pretty... Yeah, lazy and disorganized for the most part, though. So that's pretty tough for us to do.
A good way to put it.
And I actually, I came pretty close one time to having a interview with, I don't know, I still get spam email from them for stuff now. They had job postings and alpha signups for, what the hell's that game? I can't even remember, it's been so long. That MMO that's coming out pretty soon. The one after Meridian 7 or whatever the hell it was. Mm. From Lyra Studios. Whatever the hell it was. Anyway, and that
you could have gotten an alpha?
I don't think it was a direct invite. It was apply for alpha, you know.
Still.
Right, yeah.
Friends and family stage in the game.
Get it, yeah, yeah. But, no, that's a great idea. And okay, now, I'm going to tie this into the Neverwinter Nights comment down here also. With the Linux thing, I'm going to tie this whole last section together. Look at how great this is going to be. Watch this action. Okay, now... With the interviews would be great because I love listening to, I listen to radio a lot. Talk radio. People look at me like I'm fucking nuts, by the way. when I go to work and I got like a CD, I'm like, yeah, I got a 2-hour drive today. I got some talk radio to listen to. I'm like all psyched, foaming at the mouth. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? I'm like, no, dude, I listen to some awesome talk radio. And it's all, you know, internet stuff and everything. Because have you guys listened to the radio lately? Your clear on your local clear channel stations?
Oh, it's bad.
You would not believe the stuff that I know that I don't want to know. Because I'm trapped in this car with no CD player. Right now, I got myself a little RF transmitter deal, so I can hook up my own little CD player. It's broken.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say freaking.
It's broken.
Best Buy bug doesn't have a CD player.
The one I have happens to be broken, so I have to bring my own little portable CD player that plays MP3s too, and transmit it over a certain channel, and I just tune to that channel. But every now and again, I don't bring it, you know, for whatever reason. Either I'm late, or I forget, or whatever, or I don't think I'll need it that day, and I'm trapped listening to the radio. So I can tell you about Britney Spears' baby and how ugly she looks, and she changed her baby's diaper on a table in a restaurant somewhere, and the restaurant owner said, what am I going to do? It's Britney Spears. And she's dating this guy who I've discovered is named Kevin Federline. See, I did not know this guy's name. I have useful knowledge in the world now, people. This is breaking news here. This guy they call K-Fed. All this crap on the radio these days. I can't get it out of my head. I heard it on the radio. Now it's stuck in there. It's useless. So I listen to a lot of this kind of stuff.
Taking up valuable real estate.
Right. I could memorize, like, I could remember stats of items in a game. Instead, I remember Kevin Federline fucked Britney and got her pregnant. Okay? This is the kind of crap I remember. My only thing I like to know about Britney is one day, hopefully she'll do porn. That's it. Okay, back when she looks good again. Because she doesn't look good now, by the way.
No.
No. But I listen to the Linux Link Tech Show all the damn time in the car. So I'm driving around, I listen to it, and they have interviews all the time with people, which is fantastic, whether it's like the editor of Tux Magazine or something, you know, or somebody from like the KDE Project or the Samba Project. And that is really good radio because it's not something that you would normally ever get to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. So I think hearing, you know, from you know, people working on games would just be fantastic. Even if it's not, you know, somebody from working on EverQuest 3, you know, or somebody, you know, somebody at Blizzard, you know, somebody that you would think people would care about.
In fact, who we are, these kind of people would actually even be better for
what
we are and what our show is about.
Exactly. And the kind of games and the stuff we look for anyway. These are the people that are along the same lines, you know. I would hate to get on the phone with John Smedley. Peter Moore, you know.
Yeah.
We, you know, he's out there pimping the Dreamcast and now, you know, the Xbox. Could you imagine talking to that guy?
All the fluff,
you know,
coming out of his
head. You know, hey, Peter, okay, you know, what do you have to say about, you know, this crazy hack on the Xbox 360?
It doesn't exist.
That is speculation, and I think everybody should take a look at the brand new games coming out for the Xbox 360. I would like to point your direction to our new $60 offering, which, you know, what the fuck? Hell no. Let's hear from a guy that's like, man, I had to spend 3 weeks trying to figure out why the AI in this game fucking would not walk around this wall, you know, and this fucking thing happened. Then I got in touch with our AI developer, you know, the main AI developer in Finland, who fucking told me that this and that. And so I called up the graphics guy who works out of Canada, you know, I mean, that'd be dope, you know, and it'd be really cool. And I bet they have a lot of experience also with the retail or corporate game industry, probably, you know, because a lot of these people get job offers or whatnot and maybe have some close ties with some people in the gaming industry and whatnot. That would actually be incredibly interesting, you know, and the fact that a lot of these games run on Linux is amazing,
mm-hmm.
okay, because, you know, like Madar says here, fucking, it's not, you know, like he said, okay, right here, the question should not be why are there no great games for Linux, okay? The question should be, what will the world be like when the only games available are brought to us by Sony, Time Warner, McNike? Right, exactly. It's going to suck ass. So we need to get these people more in the spotlight. The people that are making the games for the games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be absolutely spectacular. But speaking of the Xbox, let's get over to this now here. The Xbox 360 DVD-ROM firmware, Hacksword.
Yeah, that unhackable machine. After what, 4 or 5 months? What is it?
4 months. Four months.
Yeah. So now, already, without chips or anything, right?
No, but, you know, this isn't something you're going to be able to do with your PC.
No.
You're going to have to, like, desolder the firmware chip off of the damn thing and use some kind of a flasher for it and solder the shit back on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that easy to do.
No. But still, it makes it so that the Xbox 360 cannot tell the difference between a burned DVD and a retail DVD.
Right, right. The idea being behind, like, okay, you have an Xbox 360 game, And in the hash, okay, if you change any of the files in the secret Microsoft code, the hash won't work anymore. The files changed, okay? So you can't edit any of the stuff like there. But, you know, when we were watching, there's actually a video up on it. I think, where the hell was it? Probably on xboxscene.com, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was.
I'm sure. Xbox-scene.com. They've gotta have a video. I can't remember where we saw it now. Maybe xboxhacker.net, maybe.
I think it was Xbox Scene.
Yeah. Oh, okay, okay. So anyway, yeah. They've gone ahead and just got it so that it sends bad data to the Xbox, you know, right. So whatever the hell you want it to run, bam, it runs, and the game runs. It's not, you know, any kind of emulation. It just runs the game because it sees it as whatever it's supposed to be.
And it doesn't do any homebrew or anything. It still has to be a real, full Xbox 360 application.
Right, because that code still has to match.
Right.
But this is, a great step in the right direction. You know, this is already working on something nasty.
But this was also done by a team who said, we are not doing it, so you can hire it. We're not releasing this.
Right.
We only did this to
proof of concept.
Right. It's basically possible. They did it because Microsoft said it couldn't be done.
Right. They believe in, and I think there was a little quote there that they said, we believe in hacking, not pirating. You know, fucking awesome. You know, I mean, I'd love to just hear about it. That is fantastic. I would love to have the knowledge to be somebody that could even come close to working on that, to even know where to start. You know, and that just fascinates me. You know, so see, this appeals to my geek side.
Right.
You know, I care about that. Most people I know, I don't give a shit. You know, can I play the game still? Whatever. You know, I find this incredibly interesting. So, you know, this was definitely worth mentioning. This is going to open the door, though, at some point. Because once they find an easy way to flash this damn thing, we're in there. You know, well, not we, those evil pirate hacker people, you know.
Damn them.
You know, yeah, they're going to create some kind of a mod chip and for evil purposes, take money from Microsoft. My God, how dare they? Jesus, they need to take money from Blizzard.
They certainly have enough of it.
Fucking A. I tell you, they're going to give Microsoft a run for their money here at this rate for a game that's not even that good. All right. Okay. Next in the pipeline is Grandia 3.
I just picked this up yesterday.
Wow, wow. And I just want to say, I told you so.
Well, no, I have to admit, I'm kind of, like, on the fence with this game.
No, but I'm talking... Okay, I meant, we talked about it earlier, the combat. Right. Is that good?
The combat is insane. I had never played Grandia 2 or 1 or Grandia Extreme.
Right. And yet you've had to listen to me for a number of years now, just, like, froth at the mouth at how good the combat is
and
in the series. Yeah.
In a single RPG, if there's a game that makes you run to the next enemy because you want to fight, that's impressive. The problem comes in when I'm only like an hour and a half into the game, so I can't comment on the story too much, but it does seem kind of janky. There's this weird like airplane thing going on. It's almost like it's almost like it's in the time frame of like the Wright brothers.
Right, right.
And it's kind of weird in that regard. It's incredibly linear.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're in a tunnel the whole time, just like Final Fantasy X.
Grandia 2 was the same way. Just remember, just like it was like town cave, town cave, town cave, that, you know, all the way boss.
Right. But the gameplay. What are you doing? 80% of the time, you're fighting, and that fighting is really good. It is, and I'm enjoying it so far, and I'm looking forward to getting more time into it. There's some really interesting things, like along the same lines of the linear, the tiny little caverns that there are, like in this tunnel, maybe there's like a slight offshoot. You don't even have to go down there and investigate because you press a button and you like throw out this like almost sonar wave.
Whoa.
And if there's anything you can interact with, it will ping.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, that's kind of cool.
It is.
One of my biggest problems with a lot of RPGs is that when I go into a cave, I get this weird, like, okay, by no means am I a completionist when it comes to these games. I cannot stand to collect all the cards.
Right.
You know, fucking play the card game and do the, you know, okay, that's bullshit. But when it comes down to my experience and my loot, I get incredibly serious. So what happens is every time I go into a dungeon in any one of these games, I try to find the absolute most incorrect route through the place first.
Yeah, I do too.
Because if I go from point A to exit, you know, from entrance to exit, I'm pissed because I probably missed some cool loot. Mm-hmm. And I get upset about it. And then I have to fucking backtrack. I'm like, God damn it.
It's a cool idea when it's nice and open and there's a lot of little nooks and crannies you have to go to.
Right.
When we're talking about three little nooks and crannies throughout the entire map that you happen to be on. Huh. You don't even have to go down there unless you ping it and then there happens to be something. I don't
kind of
really
a
like
waste.
It in that regard.
Yeah, yeah.
But like I said, so far, overall, I'm gonna give it's going good. I'd say after an hour and a half into an RPG,
okay,
I'm gonna give it maybe 40.
Okay, yeah. Good
just
stuff.
Just because of the combat.
Combat, right. See, I'm gonna have to get myself into this because I know it can't be that long of a game. Everything that we've heard about it so far is that it's actually
like
pretty 30. Short. But you know, I'm looking for that right now. You know, I'm not looking for a game that I'm gonna spend. I have that. I have MMORPGs for that, for games I'm gonna spend months playing.
Right.
Okay, we've got Oblivion out tomorrow, mm-hmm. right? March.
That would be Monday.
Monday, 20th. Monday the 20th. All right. You know, I'm not going to look for that.
But I've heard some bad rumors about that game, too.
Dun, dun, dun. It's been consoleized.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
And I guess no one knows for sure, because I mean, it's not actually out.
This is where we need our soundboard, and we can have the chick scream,
No! But it does make sense, because Morrowind was then ported to the Xbox.
Right.
Made afterward to
right.
fit into the Xbox. This was made from day one to be on both.
Oh my god.
And so it does make sense if they did, in fact.
OMG! Exclamation point, W2EF! Exclamation point, 111. What the deuce?
So we'll see. I'm also worried that they spent too much damn time on the graphics.
Yeah, that very well could be. I mean, it looks goddamn nice.
Morrowind for its day looked damn nice, too.
It had amazing graphics for its day and still brought the storyline to the table. It really did. It did a great job.
So I guess I'm not too worried.
As long as they don't have anything stupid in it, I'll be okay. You know, like if I've got dungeons where I can too easily get from point A to point B and not go back into it, I'm going to be upset.
Right.
Because what if I don't find my sword of ultimate kick-ass world domination in there and I go past it? Okay, I'm going to be an upset gamer. This is talking about, you know, our Grandia 3 going through the tunnels thing here.
Right.
You know, I like to check out those nooks and crannies because you never know what you're going to find. And God, I wish these games would reward you for that more. You know, just a little bit. Like, I remember, God, Zelda, I got to come back to Zelda. Shit, I wonder if I can bomb that over there. And I bomb the wall and I can go, holy shit, there's a hole here. I can go, I just got, you know, it's a secret to everybody. I got a couple of free rupees. Man, that's friggin' awesome, you know? That kicks ass. I really want to play this. So it's coming out for the PC and the Xbox 360 on the same day?
Yes, as far as I know.
Oh my god. And I'm supposed to play friggin' Grandia? Holy shit. Good thing for me, World of Warcraft is starting to wind down a little bit. Like I'm going up in the, well, I'm having some fun now that like once you level, you're not worried about those numbers anymore. Now what can I do for fun?
Right.
Done some PvP, had a decent time at that, figured out I'm too gimped to compete. Okay, so what about just farming for fat loot? The drop rates are retarded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about exploration? There's not a whole lot here. I've done some raids. Good thing for me, there's only like 6 places to go in this game, and I've already gone through them. It's just like, I'm okay. Fan-fucking-tastic. Might be time to look elsewhere. That elsewhere is going to be Vanguard Saga of Motherfucking Heroes. Oh, wait, that doesn't say that. It says Saga of Heroes. I'm sorry. The uberness just leaked off the page.
Yeah.
Now, Kobar here has done some seriously fucking hardcore in-depth research on this because I have been stuck in Upper Blackrock Spire and some other places. And why don't you point your browser, because you're probably not driving or waiting in line or on the bus or at work or, you know, wherever you are. You're probably sitting in front of your PC right now, to silkyvenom.com. SILKYVENOM.com. And you had a specific thing that I was looking at. Do you remember what the hell that was?
The thing you were looking at the time was, like, Ohl's book. It was, like, O-H-O-L or something along
that
line.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it's one of the articles on Silky Venom.
Okay. Now, I had a fuck of a time trying to navigate this place, but if you click on the top somewhere, resources, and a little option fact comes up. If you click that, holy goddamn, you can read more than you probably could on any other game.
They've taken just about every quote from the developers that they can find and put it in the category it belongs.
Okay.
In their fact.
The specific page you linked to me, tinyurl.com/JP, like Japanese, JP, JP Onry, It's JPN. Okay. Okay, JPN XL. JPN XL, like extra large.
And
Japan
this,
extra large. JPN XL.
This is a person that sort of works.
He's their like attorney,
sort of,
but he doesn't work in house with them. He just happens to be their attorney or whatever the hell he said he was.
Or like one of them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so he has been in since the day
beta
one
zero.
Of beta. He's friends of family.
He said hours one of beta zero is what it said. So he's the guy.
Yeah, he has gotten permission from Brad McQuaid, who is the CEO and executive producer for Sigil and Vanguard. To give away a decent amount of information. He is allowed to semi-break the NDA.
Okay.
And he lays it down the best he's allowed. All the different little ins and outs of what's going on, and this game is insane.
It basically reads like a technical manual for the game, kind of. You know, like, he doesn't come out
and say... Well, he's a lawyer, so he's...
Right. Yeah, no, it's very good. I love the way it's written. Really wish more stuff would be written like this. I really do. Because it's like, you know, he'll say, he'll break it down how it works, and then give an example with little cute things that have happened to him, or little examples or whatever. So it's really well put together, you know, and it's like, the information is there, and if you can't figure it out... Bam, here's an example. You know, and not everything's like that, of course, you know, but I mean, for the most part, I read this combat part of it, about the way the combat works, on how it was a lot like, I read this combat thing, about how it was a lot like an old school pen and paper RPG, where you have, like, initiative, and it's like turn-based combat.
Kind of.
Right, well, it's not gonna kind of play like that, I mean, but that's basically how the mechanics behind it are gonna work, of course. And he kind of explains that, and he gives you how it works, not his opinion on it, though. He didn't say, like, oh my gods, my warrior's so ubers, you know, I will rock sore you because I got the Pwntator, you know, fucking axe of whoop ass. You know, he doesn't, you know, he's just like, okay, look, you've got this and that, this does this, and it's actually somewhat complicated, which I think is just fantastic.
There's all kinds of things going on in the combat. There's like basically combos that you can do by yourself, where you have openers, bridges, and then finishers.
For you JP Henry people, that would be called a skill chain.
Like a self skill chain.
Right.
There's also group skill chains, which they call symbiotic attacks.
Uh-huh.
Which as far as I can tell works very similarly. You have someone starts an opener, which allows someone else to use a bridger, which allows someone else to cause a finisher.
Right.
And there's also attacks of opportunity, and we're not talking like normal attacks of opportunity where you get behind them.
Right.
Where you will be able to see what your opponent is doing next. Like, let's say he's casting Fireball.
But you have a cue.
Right.
So you can see the whole thing. So, give an example, okay? Like, we're fighting a gelatinous cube, okay?
Okay.
And you have like, I guess it's like little boxes or whatever or something above the creature or something?
Wherever you happen to put it.
Oh, okay.
Because it's all movable.
Okay, cool. Thank God. Fuck you, World of Warcraft. So, and it'll show you like, okay, regular attack, regular attack, devour.
Right.
Let's just say that's our scenario. Okay.
And so you know that devour happens to be a really big uber skill.
Disintegrate, I guess. Right. So gelatinous cubes. Okay. And that's on round three.
So you know you could start a chain if you wanted to, but you're not going to get to the finisher, which is where the big meat of it is.
Right, but your moves work in the same way.
Right.
Okay, well, we're saying the mob isn't doing a chain. We're saying the mob is doing a regular, you know, attack, a regular attack, and then disintegrate. So
you're probably going to do two regular attacks.
Right.
So that you can go ahead and get to this, and do an ability when he's getting ready to devour that's going to either stop it, or slow it down, or cause a problem with it. And they have perception in this game, where you might notice that he has a problem with his technique in Devour, and let's say his footing is wrong. And so now, let's say you're a rogue, you might be able to attack that leg because he put it out too far and cause Devour to stop.
Right.
As well as wound his leg and keep him from being, well, it's a gelatinous cube. But
right, that's what I was thinking. Bad example on my part.
You understand what I'm saying, though. You find weaknesses in whatever attack that he's about to do, and you can choose to exploit that weakness as long as your perception
and that,
checks.
And that's not a class-specific rogue-only thing.
No.
This is every class.
Each class will have different things that they are able to exploit. Right. Like the rogue might be the only one who can exploit the current problem.
Right. Okay, so let's say his footing is wrong and a rogue has some kind of a hamstring feature.
Right.
Okay, but a mage wouldn't be able to, stick her staff down there and trip him.
Right.
But
she could
do some kind of a spell.
They have counter spells. They also have the ability to, transmute the spell. So, you could choose to either stop the spell cold, or you could, transmute it so some of the damage hits you, but it also turns some of the damage into an AoE mana heal.
Wow.
And you have to decide which is more important.
Right. Do I need a lot of strategy here.
Do I need to mitigate all the damage, or is my party kind of low on MP and could use a little help?
Right. That is fucking awesome. Because, that gives you, I'm thinking of our example here. Let's say you're Uber Rogue and you know it, and, you're going to bet on your chance to resist his disintegrate. I could, instead of do a regular attack, and some kind of a defensive special move, because you have defensive special moves.
Right.
You even have, if I read that right, special moves, you have defensive, and you have your offensive, and you can chain them. So you have, your opener for your defensive move. If you see that coming and okay, you could work on something way cool. I think a warrior was used in one of the examples where you cannot do say in World of Warcraft where you just have a shield bash or whatever the hell came. It doesn't matter.
Stuns.
Right. You can't just do that. You can't just walk up to somebody and press number one and go wham.
Because it's a bridge or it's a finisher.
Right. Let's just say it's a finisher. Okay. So now that you've got to walk up to this guy, hit him with some kind of an opener. Maybe it's a lunging type move, so you start to get a little speed built up or whatever. And then something else, and you're letting it hit you though with his regular attacks. Now it comes down to he's going to hit disintegrate, but you're going to stun.
Because now you have Shield Bash available to you.
Right. That move will not be available.
It becomes infinitely more strategic.
Yeah. Because fucking current games, the greatest example is how ghetto the fucking rogues are in World of Warcraft. Because everything you have is on a 3.5-year timer. So you only get to use your skill once every, so often. And if you go ahead and use your skill in that combat, you're getting your fucking ass beat the next combat if it goes anything similar to the last round. Mm-hmm. But it's not on a cooldown like that anymore. Well, it's okay. I'm sure they're going to have some that are on cooldowns. You can't just spam one thing over and over.
There are skills that are decently powerful that are by themselves, and I would imagine some of them probably do have some cooldown.
Right, right, absolutely. But for the most part, you're working with a combat system that I just have to say it. It reminds me of Killer Instinct, because you had your openers and you had linkers, bridges here, I guess, and then a finishing move, which was a really powerful or a special move type thing, whether that's you blind them, hamstring them, stun them or whatever. That, in these MMOs, you do a lot of killing, way too fucking much, okay? But that's what they are. They're just, dungeon crawls where you're running around, blowing stuff up, getting experience for it, and turning the occasional ghetto-ass quest for a little bit of experience here and there, maybe some crap-ass item and, pittance and money. I think that's going to be really cool because you kill so much stuff in these games. One of the biggest problems I had with EverQuest 1 was I would fall asleep playing it because I would just walk up to the mob and I'd hit a button or two. I'd get eyes a little droopy, no big deal. I'm hanging on there. My head's leaning back. I'm starting to look through the little slit in my eyes now. Bam, I'm out. Yeah, I couldn't do it. It was just so fucking boring. I hated MMOs, and if anybody listened to the show back in the first, 25, 30 episodes, I couldn't fucking stand them.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy XI comes along, where all of a sudden, there is some serious strategy to the combat. Every single combat, there was strategy to, and it was just incredible. It kept you aware. It kept you awake. It kept you paying the fuck attention to what was going on all the time. And, where I couldn't play a game like EQ1 for more than 20 minutes at a time, a game like Final Fantasy came along where I couldn't sleep because I was so involved and it kept me so in touch with the game. It was just the coolest thing ever.
And this has the potential to have quite a bit more strategy and paying attention value than
absolutely, because now granted, there's a lot of strategy involved in Final Fantasy XI, but for the most part, it was kind of limited because what would happen would be you would get with your group and say, this is what we're doing every time. So everybody would do their regular attacks every time, and then some guy would say, I'm ready. And then when the other guys would say, I'm ready, you would go move one. The next character would do his special move, you know, his number two. And the next guy would go move number three. Bam. You guys are done. Rinse and repeat.
You try to do that in this game. You try to do the same thing over and over again, and you will die.
Yep, you're
fucked.
Because
you have to be situational. You have to pay attention to what's going on.
Which is the fattest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go from a game like EverQuest, where there was just, I don't know, for some reason it seemed like every button you push was some kind of DPS, and you would just push that button as long as it was available.
EQ2, you're just...
Okay, now, and then Final Fantasy, right, you had this somewhat strategic skill chain thing you had to do. Well, okay, it's incredibly strategic, at least for at the time. But then somehow, we've gone backwards, I feel, to World of Warcraft and EverQuest 2.
They're both just, like, button-mashing crazy. You just spam whatever you can.
Exactly.
And in this game, not only can you have to pay attention with what you're casting, you can't do it all the time because, like, melee have stamina that goes down.
Oh.
You can't just sit there and...
Right. Well, right, that would be like your mana bar or whatever, of course.
Right.
Right.
And so, so you can't just spam like mad.
That is cool. I am really looking forward to that. I just want to try the damn combat now to make sure it's fun. Since you're going to spend most of your time in combat, it may as well be fun and entertaining.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, what's so wrong about that?
It certainly sounds like it's going to be a blast.
It does. It does. Now, I mean, you were even telling me about some of the spells and the way that you put the spells together.
Oh, yeah. Like, for instance, a bard. All we know about bards is that there will be a lot like rogues and monks. They're going to be mostly, like, melee DPS. But they're also going to have songs. But it's not just standard songs. You have components. Like, say you have a fire resist component, and you have a HP regen component, and you have an extra defense, regular defense component. And you put those together into a song, and then you play it, and now you get all three of those.
But that is song. Cool.
Or if you need a lot of fire resist, you can go fire resist, fire resist, fire resist, and get a lot of fire resist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, that's pretty nifty.
And sorcerers, which are going to be the main... mostly just DD damage spellcasters, they have the ability to mix elements together. Like you take fire and water, and now you have steam.
Okay.
Or you take water and earth, and now you have mud.
Right.
And you mix and match the components.
And that's a sorcerer?
Yeah. And we don't know quite how it works yet because they haven't released a lot of that. But depending on how cool that is, that could be really intense.
See, I'm a big fan of elemental spells. Like, I used to play wizards and stuff in a lot of video games because they usually didn't have a rogue or a thief type class. Wizard's my next choice, usually.
Right.
But I never liked the ones that just had, like, you know, this is my bomb, this is my more powerful bombing spell, this is my next most powerful bombing spell,
mm-hmm.
whatever. Never big on the poison type stuff, undead type, warlocky-ish kind of stuff. Huge on the elemental stuff, though. I love that shit for some reason. I think it's just way cool. Which is, I don't know, I don't really like the wizards so much in World of Warcraft. They're just like, you have fire and ice and arcane, and I just, no. Give me some lightning in there, give me a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Let me make up some cool shit here. Awesome.
Lore-wise, apparently later on in the levels, when you get a little more burly, you'll actually start being able to combine multiple multiple elements, and even combining like one of the compound elements with another regular element to make even another thing.
Yeah.
And depending on how they do that, that could be really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds really, really good. Do we know anything about the rogues? The only thing I know is that you're not going to have craftable poison. That is the only thing I know about them. I don't even know like anything else.
They're going to be melee DPS.
Okay.
And that's kind of what they've been relegated to ever since the beginning.
Right.
I
was kind of pushing for spells this time, but damn.
Well, I mean heavy DPS as opposed to utility or whatever.
Right, right.
But apparently, from what I can gather, they're going to be one of the more...
Oh, right, you did tell me. You did mention something about that to me. It was more like a damage over time wounded kind of stuff.
Well, that's one thing that they're going to be doing, a lot of wounds, which can do damage over time. They can cause slow effects.
Right,
they can
cause, disabling type of shit.
Right, they can do all kinds of weird stuff depending on where you wound.
Right, right.
They're also going to be a little heavier on the combo thing, like the opener, bridger.
Oh, okay.
like more of their things are going to be involved in that than say other stuff. Apparently,
you know what this sounds like, people. No matter what class you play, you might have to be kind of good.
might have to pay attention.
So, World of Warcraft players need not apply. Because seriously?
You're wasting your money.
Fucking A. 95% of the people out there have no fucking idea how to play their character. Don't come play Vanguard Saga of Heroes, please. Because I'm jumping ship. Because the grass is pretty much greener everywhere I look. The problem is, everybody's standing on this little part of the farm where there's a cow turd. And we're all here. And I don't know why. But I had to join the group because I was cold and alone out there. And I don't see the point. It smells over here. And you people suck and need to shower. And learn how to play. I'm going to see if I can insult the whole group here. So, learn how to spell. Okay? You'll never be as good as Chuck Norris. And quit playing video games. Do us all a favor. Okay?
Go back to Diablo.
Go cut yourself. You know, yeah, go back. Yeah, that's the kind of game you want to play. Thank God, Blizzard, answering the prayers. Diablo 3, okay? Let's do this, all right? God damn it.
Or more importantly, keep what you're doing. Make it fat, make them never want to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Because once you're gone, we're going to have to deal with it in other games. Because now they think they're MMO players.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You've given them this false reality that they believe they know what the fuck they're doing. Put anybody, any one of those guys into Final Fantasy XI and see what happens.
No, I was thinking about it today. That most of them wouldn't be able to fight their way out of a wet paper bag in Final Fantasy.
No, they can't. They're sitting there pounding on buttons. What the hell? This game blows. I swear to fucking God, people. I've never seen a game. Now, granted, the whole group isn't like that. I've run across two or three people that know what they're doing. You know, maybe. Okay. And yet, I look at the majority of the Final Fantasy players, and they are able to put it together, but there is four or five of them that don't know what they're doing, too. You know, but the ratio of players that have made it to 75 in Final Fantasy XI versus the guys who make it to 60 in a weekend on World of Warcraft, it's amazing. I run into more people who have, like, absolutely no idea how that game works at 60. You know, and it's like, I'm a noob. I've straight up been playing this for, like, 2.5 months. These guys are like, oh, this is like, you know, this is my main. He's 60. I got four dudes at 60. Where's Blackrock Spire, man? I want to go there one day. It sounds cool, and I think there's some uber elite gear. I can own the noobs with it. And I'm like, my God, you know, what the fuck is wrong? Oh, man, I get pissed at these people, man. I swear to God. They're fucking retarded.
They won't survive in Vanguard.
No, you won't. They won't. They have to fucking know what they're doing, which sounds awesome. An MMORPG that throws in some skill into it again. You know, like Final Fantasy XI had. We've done nothing but talk about how fantastic the combat is on Final Fantasy XI since day one. Mm-hmm. Okay? Trust us. We're not making this shit up. It requires concentration. This is going to be even more. Yeah. Which is, I think, a very, very good thing for this genre, honestly. This is, okay, working with my evolution thing here that, you know, I'm thinking, saying that these MMORPGs are evolving. Interactive combat is great, okay? Not this 2-2-2-2, okay, well, you know, for whatever button Sinister Strike is, and then Eviscerate every now and again. You know, I mean, what the shit?
And every class is like that, you just spam.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't matter what you are, I don't care, play the mage, dude. Play the hunter. Same idea, except for every now and again, you can really fuck somebody's day if you press another button.
Right, there's for every class, there is like this script. And you can, and you do this, and you just go back. And,
yep.
And round
that's
and round.
All
and
I
and
do,
round.
And I just own everything. Yeah. You just, you know, plow through mobs like no big deal.
And it's the same script no matter where you are or what you're doing.
Yep. I mean, it's pretty, oh yeah. You know, I mean, if you're not getting our example, I remember him mentioning on this website here, where they're talking about Vanguard, about fighting like a healer. You know, and he's like, well, what if you fight a healer? And I was thinking to myself, man, that's one of the hardest things to go up against as a rogue in a lot of these kind of games is a class that can heal itself. Because
a lot of classes, it's the hardest.
Because you have a problem with it because, shit, all of a sudden you plan on this thing being dead, you know? And it's not now. So, you know, you see the mob is going to heal itself. You can block that. But if you know, your uber warrior guy, you know, fucking Rammstein and shit, you can plow through the guy and kill him because you can do enough damage. So maybe it's more worth it for you to do your opener and bridge and pray you kill him by the bridge before he, let's say, gets his heal off if it's his finisher on his third move, say. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to have to take that into account.
You have to decide what do you think is going
to
happen.
Right. You're going to have to actually use your brains. And I'm really looking forward to this because you know what? The strong will survive in this game.
Mm-hmm.
The strong will survive if you have to have skill to level.
And the greatest thing, I said this to you earlier, I like a game that kicks your ass when you're being a noob.
Yeah.
And you get all these crap groups, and oh my god, is it sucking. And then all of a sudden, you get that sweet group that's clicking, and it's better than sex.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend goes, hey honey, come here. No, later.
Nope.
Later.
Can't do it.
You'll be here tomorrow.
Good groups only last a few hours. That's right. It's like having sex with a supermodel and then telling her to get the fuck out when you're done. It's fantastic, and it doesn't get much better. It's VanguardSOH.com is the website for the game. Kobar found that.
Another thing I want to mention while we're mentioning the main site. On the forums, the main CEO head guy has to have so much going on right now. Post several times a day on the forums.
That's awesome.
The executive producer is actually talking to the community.
Thank God.
Multiple times a day. He sits there and reads it and posts what he thinks is important.
Damn. That's good. That's really, really good. Not like Blizzard where they just post, working as intended, go fuck yourself. Yeah, you know?
Has any person who plays WoW ever seen a developer post?
They post on the forums. They
No.
It's not a developer,
manager.
Right?
The
right.
It's their little forum dudes,
right?
The people
yeah.
who get paid to read the forums do go.
Right.
The developers don't touch it.
No, and those guys are fucking morons, and they don't do anything about it. Working as intended, or go fuck yourself, noob. Go away, banned from the forum for 3 days. I mean, it's like you're in play school. Seriously, go sit in the corner for 3 days.
Yeah.
Honest to God, I'm not making it up. They ban you for 2-3 days at a time from the forum. Just you shouldn't have said that. You're banned for 3 days. Go, and it's just like I'm hearing it in my head, like. Go to the corner, you know.
Don't leave because we want your money. But
right, but you did wrong. Go away. You know, it's fucking. It's a. Oh. Okay, so what else was I going to say about this game? That website. Oh, their website. As you pointed out to me, was quite old. Not quite.
They're
up
working.
To date.
They're working on it right now. They are in the process of revamping.
Oh, okay.
And then like their FAQ and whatnot is being revamped with it, and so they're holding out because they're doing it all in house and then just going to throw.
Oh, okay. So go ahead and hit up silkyvenom.com instead. And now I know a lot of people are awfully sick of fantasy based MMORPGs, but
tough.
Kiss my ass. Okay. I got some ball sweat here if you want to lick it. I mean, that's fine. Okay. Go play your little fucking Star Wars Galaxies and have a nice day. You know, I'll bring you a Coke. You know, seriously. Get the fuck out. Okay. Now, you know, and I'll play a sci-fi or MMORPG if I can have space combat. Like, really good fucking my ship versus your ship space combat. I'm not going to be walking around going, I want to be a Jedi. Okay, fuck you. I want my ship versus your ship.
I'll play a sci-fi MMORPG when actually one that's decent comes out.
What? We shall see.
One that's actually playable.
That has yet to be seen. But you know who's a good place to keep up on top of that? Lag Radio.
Yeah.
They talk about a lot of online MMO stuff, not all fantasy-based. In fact, I think they don't like a lot of the fantasy stuff. They're bigger on the player creation type of stuff. And the sci-fi stuff.
Mm.
It's lag-radio.com. You mentioned to me something, too, about the user-created stuff in this that I wanted to bring up, too, to make sure that gets said.
Oh! It's not a huge deal in my personal opinion, but...
I'm not a big fan of it, either, personally.
A lot of people will really like it.
Right. And that's why I wanted to bring that up, because it's something they always mention, too, you know?
Right. There's real estate where people can go, and they can buy it, and then build a house. They can build buildings on it.
Wait a minute. I could have a little hut.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere. That's what
As long as it's a footprint that is buildable on.
Right. Ah, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
It's
okay.
Not just anywhere because
okay, right.
It would encroach in
right,
the content.
Right. I'm going to set up right in the burliest dragon in the fucking place, and I've got a little fucking house.
But in designated areas where it's okay to build, you can build
as
a house.
As long as they have some creative and cool places, that would be friggin' awesome.
And people can come and build next to you, and you can start... Then you can start building a market and a town square.
Oh, the market. We have to talk about that because this game is not all roses and wine.
There's one aspect that I do not
like. That you don't like. Let me just throw in real quick the one thing I noticed that I'm not 100% sure on about this game yet. It's not a long discussion. Okay. I looked at a lot of screenshots for this game today.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them look friggin' awesome. Some of them look like the most boring, standard... generic fantasy. This was pulled right out of the streets of EverQuest 2 that I've ever seen. There was a few shots in there that I just went, oh my god, am I looking at EQ2? The graphics are absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll tell you what, there was some scenes from outside that blew my fucking mind. And the way the grass was, you said it swayed in the breeze and shit.
Yep.
And you've got like, it's like everywhere. It's not like crappy, like the EverQuest 2 style where you had the brush and all it, you know, and it would just kind of get in your way. And it was only every so often there was like a little bush hair in there or whatever. Mm-hmm. This looked like you were walking through a field of whatever the hell it was
high
you were
grass,
walking through.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's goddamn cool. But then there was, you know, the occasional screenshot, whether it was in a town or in a cave even, where I was just like, my god, you know, this looks very generic. Okay, now, the problem with that is it doesn't bother me that much because I like the generic fantasy settings. A lot of people freak out about it and they don't like it. And I remember this argument when it was World of Warcraft versus EverQuest 2 back in the day. One of the things I really do like about World of Warcraft is that it sure appears, whether it is or isn't, it appears that every level was, well, every location in that game, minus the cookie-cutter dungeons that are all the same, was lovingly handcrafted. Honest to God, there is very few places that I can go in World of Warcraft where I can stand there and say, wow, this is fucking stupid looking, you know, or this looks boring, or this looks like nobody put any effort into it. There's no place that I can think of other than those little dungeons that are like that. Every single place you go, it's like somebody designed it, said, if I'm standing here and looking in that direction, does that look cool? No? Fix it. Right. Now, turn around. Does that look cool? No. Fix it. And I swear to God, that's the one thing I'm really big on in this World of Warcraft is holy shit, it looks like that was created by somebody who really fucking put some effort into it. And that does go a long way.
If it looks generic, I would say that's only because the people who are making this are very, very, very big fans of standard high fantasy, and it's designed to be high fantasy. And so you're going to see a lot of elements that you have seen before as far as style, and because it's what they're going for.
Right, right. And I don't care about style so much. Okay. I see like a river in EverQuest 2. And at the very most, they let you have this crappy ass flat texture that just scrolls, okay?
Right.
And there's some generic ass bridge that goes over it. Now, if you take that same scene and you were to transplant it into, say, World of Warcraft, the way that they did it, you know, okay, maybe their graphics don't look as good, but they have like a tree that had fallen and is now laying across the river. So if you didn't want to, if you were coming from the other direction or from down the river a bit, you wouldn't have to walk up to the bridge. You could hop on a log and walk across. And that log also has a branch sticking out of it and a hole where an owl made its home. And the bridge is missing a few bricks and it's barely hanging on to the side of the fucking place. And there's a skull on a stick up there too. And there's a scuff mark where there might have been a great battle and somebody scuffed their armor on it and a chip in the brick. And you know what I mean? There's details and
right.
There's little things and there's some moss growing on that fucking tree that fell into the river or whatever. And it's like, wow. This looks amazing. That was really well put together, this little scene. That you can do that with straight-up high fantasy. I mean, there's nothing wrong
sure.
with that at all. It's just the little details that I didn't quite see in a lot of the stuff there. It just looked kind of like flat and empty. And when I say this, I'm saying 5 out of, like, the 100 screenshots I looked at. I'm saying, like, you know, maybe, like, 5 out of the 100 screenshots or so I looked at just kind of looked very blah. And I think most of them were in a city, by the way.
Mm.
I'm having a flashback where I think it was very generic human city type place, I guess, you know, where I feel that they really dropped the ball. So these are not finished or anything,
right?
But right now they just need to put that extra little touch in every little street corner. Bam. Okay, now the auction house deal.
There's
so
no...
much for my short little tirade on graphics here, or at least little touches.
There is no auction house. There is no sale system. They want that feeling of a booming marketplace that you would have in a medieval town or something. And so I think it's a terrible idea. Because you're just going to have a bunch of people spamming in the auction channel I got this for sale. I got this for sale. If you want to sell something, that's what you got to do. Yep. You got to sit there and spam the auction channel.
And fuck that. That's stupid.
And it sucks. It takes way too much time out of my day, and I really, really hope they decide that that's not the way to go. But that's really the only gripe I can find thus far.
Okay. I've got the two. I think it looks kind of bland in certain places, but the outside, all the places outside look pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a few places that I didn't like so much, but that auction system is pretty lame. I guess in EverQuest 1 is what they're going for.
Right. Well, they did it in EverQuest 1 for the exact same reason.
Where you have a zone, pretty much, and it's just a bunch of people spamming what they have across the generic chat channel there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's retarded. Okay. Yeah. And I only say that because from a gameplay standpoint, that sucks ass for the player.
Yeah.
You have to fucking sit there, and it's like, oh my god, you know? Okay, now the EverQuest 2 system pissed me off too, you know, where you had to, when the game first came, you had to stay logged on in your house and keep, you know, as much gear as you could possibly carry to sell on you. That was pretty lame too. Later on, they added it where you could have like 40 slots of shit sold out of your house or whatever, while you were offline.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that helped. That helped. You know, the Final Fantasy just had too little that you could sell at a time, like only allowed you to sell like seven items. Right, that's kind of stupid. I mean, it just, we haven't found the perfect auction house system yet. Like the World of Warcraft auction house, I don't even know why they have bids on there. They might as well just have prices on there.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of the bid system.
It didn't
work
very
well. Some
people
like it, I don't.
No, almost every single person I know, if they don't put a buyout and they just put a bid, nobody bids on it. They don't want to wait. They want to buy their shit now. So why don't we just put a price on the guy?
They don't want to have to sit there and babysit it for the next 16 hours.
Right, right. That doesn't happen in these kind of games. It's, okay, as much as myself, Kobar, and every other gamer in the world want to be able to live and play in this 24 hours a day, trust me, we can't. I've tried. Okay, I've come very close.
The time we do spend, we want to spend
playing. And having fun, okay? Now, having fun is not standing around listening to a bunch of people who can't spell their own name spamming you to buy their shit, okay? It's like the gold farmers. You buy it! You buy now! Okay? It gets on my fucking nerves, alright? So, I believe, in my opinion, solved one half of the Vanguard sales system. Okay, if they do not want one big giant auction house just to run all the shit, okay, and they want to give it the feel of a marketplace, a bustling marketplace, you know, where shit is going down. What you do is, let's say you've got, your weapons. I'm just going to take generic groups. I'm sure you could get blunt weapons if we wanted to, and slashing and piercing weapons if we wanted to. But I'm going to just say it. Okay, let's say we've got you go into like the bazaar. Let's say it's a part of town, and there's a bunch of tents set up or whatever, little huts or whatever. Okay, and one of them is like, you know, Bob's Cutlery. And this guy sells fucking daggers, swords, etc. You've got, you know, Brunor's fucking blunt weapons. And he's got maces and clubs, okay? And then you've got, you know, whatever's fucking like a ring shop for fucking, you know, and you've got the arcanery for spells, and you've got the poison guy, and you've got the, you know, whatever the fuck it is that you've got. And you've got like, you know, the miscellaneous shop, you know, for herbs or whatever, and little rocks and weird quest items people can buy from you. And then you've got the guy who sells food items that maybe players craft food and they can sell food to other people. Basically, the category system that you have on any auction house in these games, okay, and I'm going to use World of Warcraft as the example because, you know, probably most of the people know what I'm talking about. Okay, so you say sort, you know, on the left-hand side, you pick armor and you pick dagger. Or fucking weapon, and you pick dagger, it shows you just the daggers. Mm-hmm. So what if we take the whole weapon section and assign it to an NPC? So if I walk into the bazaar and I want to buy a dagger, I'm going to go find the place, the guy that lists all the dagger options.
Mm-hmm.
But if I want to buy myself a new pair of boots, you know, I'm going to go over to Red Wing's, you know, footery or, you know, over here, and I'm going to have to walk across that zone, and it's the exact same auction house interface, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the guy only allows you to list feet items.
Yeah, it's certainly at least a decent compromise between what they want and,
you know, we need an auction house. We have to have offline selling, and we have to have a lot of it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be people in there, and they would be spread out. You know, like for, you know, there might be 10 people trying to buy swords. So they're all going to be in a clump over by the little shop guy who is the auction house guy for swords.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, hey, fuck me. There's a lot of guys out trying to buy a new helmet that just dropped in some zone. There's 10 people over there bidding on this helmet at the helmet place. That would kind of give us the same... the feel of, right, but they're ran by NPCs, not a bunch of people spamming our dumbasses.
Right.
I think that's a great, great thing. And if you wanted to break it up even more, because if they really have a fairly large section of town and want to kind of spread it out, fine. Again, I'll use the World of Warcraft example because I don't know what system they're going to have in Vanguard. So you've got your generic items. So you have, you know, Steve's swords. We know that Steve sells items that are white. Now let's say I have a magical sword. It's green. You go to Bob's Swords in the same zone, but he only lists green items.
Right.
You have, you know, Rick's Swords. He sells the blue items, the rare stuff. And then you've got, you know, your epic weapon dealer or whatever. Maybe it's a nicer tent. Maybe it's a fucking building you go into. And as you go down in quality, you've got like a tent, like the street hawker guy in Mexico and Tijuana, you know. And you get down to that if you're buying a regular basic item. I think it's a great idea.
That's it. That's even good because then... When you're buying, like, say you're buying blue items, you're going to a nice store.
Right.
And you get to shop at the nicer store, and you get to be seen going into the nice store.
Totally. Totally. You know, I really think that would be a great system. Now, when I say that's only half of the solution, that's because I don't know what auction system I would use just yet without further thought.
Right.
You know, I don't know how I would go about that, but that's not for me to decide. That's for them to decide. I'm just saying I think that that would be a fat idea, having different places to go. Different auction.
That's even better in my mind than a regular auction system.
Yeah,
because
I think it's cooler.
You're
definitely
moving into the different stores.
Yeah,
you're going out shopping.
Yeah. I think that it's not like the... Well, I guess it is kind of like the mall, I guess. We'll call it the mall zone, you know, whatever. That would be fantastic. I think it would be great. You're not going to Walmart. You go to the mall.
Right.
Right? So you have your choices of different places to go.
Marketplace.
Right. Yeah. You know, not like we currently have the Walmart auction house system where everything is on the same goddamn thing.
And I can understand their desire to make it a little different.
I can too, but from a gameplay standpoint, that blows nuts.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll email them and just be like, look, here's your solution.
There you go, or at least throw it up on the
forums
because
well,
we
right.
know that
it'll get
reads
read.
It.
Right. That's actually a much better idea. So, okay. Well, we hit 2 hours here, and I do believe I'm about burned on talking at this point.
Well, we have more stuff for next week.
We have, next week is going to be and more. Because we've got, let me hold on here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then 2, we got to mention, we got some movies to mention next week. Quite a bit, as a matter of fact, because that's been most of what's been getting done around here. Also, I do believe we're going to have a chance to talk about Black next week, the demo at the very least. I've got my hands on the demo for Black, which I waited for. It looked so great. And I spoke to Dr. Flavin about this, and he says he beat it in like 3 hours.
No.
So,
kidding.
Yeah. So I'm not so. I'm like release day. So I'm not very pleased with Black anymore.
3 hours?
That's what he told us. I'm sure. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to talk to him a little bit more about that. But there was two things that we definitely wanted to mention before we're out of here. Two trailers of some upcoming movies. Now, one of them is Silent Hill. Silent Hill, very popular game, kind of creepy, survival horror-ish, you know.
Looks like it could be a very decent video game
right.
movie.
This has nothing to do with Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
So, there's hope for the movie, you know. And I don't know, it looked pretty good. You can get the trailer at, quicktime.com, they had the trailer up there. Looked pretty damn good, it really did. It's Silent Hill, the trailer is out for that. I actually don't have a release date on that, I can't freaking remember. I had it, and I don't remember, I thought I would remember, but it was like weeks ago. So, but today, Kobar showed me something that pretty much had to change my panties here. Clerks2.com.
Yes.
That's Clerks2.com.
That's motherfucking Clerks, yo!
Yeah, dude, I cannot wait. And this is 8/18/2006. Not 7. 6. That means this year, in a mere 5 more months, almost to the day, we can see Dante and Randall's hijinks once again.
And I kind of hope the movie opens up like the trailer does. That whole black and white to color thing was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. I was, in fact, I thought maybe we're watching part of the intro here. You know, and he's like, oh no, or whatever. Remember when he stared at the wall? Oh man, I seriously cannot express how happy I feel. Like, it's kind of like this like feeling of like ecstasy where you just know you're going to be in for some good stuff.
I am so glad that Kevin Smith decided just to stay with his strengths, because he said he was done with this.
He was done with
that whole style of movie. He was moving on.
And then we got
Jersey Girl. Wasn't a bad movie.
No.
Nothing special, though. It was nothing.
Right.
It might as well have been with the 10,000 other movies that came out that year.
Yeah, you're right.
It was not a Kevin Smith movie.
It was not. I forgot the fucking name. It was so unmemorable. You know, I mean, it was just like, eh. I watched it. It was a decent flick.
It's worth my time.
Right. Yeah, I got it. You know, it was better than your average movie. Even though I thought, I mean, it made its point across. I mean, it was pretty good. Okay, but
it was not a Kevin Smith movie.
It wasn't. It
was not Mallrats.
No,
it was not Dogma.
Right.
It was not
exactly
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Exactly. Oh my god, I cannot.
Jay and Silent Bob, or even in Clerks 2.
Yeah.
You can't really have Clerks 2 without at least, like,
at least having him in there, right?
Like, dancing in the corner or something.
Oh, and you know who else is there? We've got Ben Affleck.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed he was in a clip in the trailer, and Jason Lee. Reynolds
can't
style.
Have, can't have a movie without either of them.
Right, no, absolutely. So that is big, happy news. I am, like, super terrific happy hour news about this, because I'm gonna have to go to the theater again. That's fucking amazing for me. Like, it's gonna happen, and I'm gonna be there, and I'm gonna, like, watch it and stuff, and then we're gonna, like, do something about it. Like, talk or something.
That'll be good.
To you guys. About the movie.
Whoa!
Clerks 2. 8/18/2006. Yeah. Lots of movies next week, because we were gonna do it this week, and in fact I said, and when we were reading the emails, yeah, I'll get to Saw 2 later, and yada yada. Fuck no, man, like, I'm hella tired and thirsty now. So, next week, I swear to God, we're not gonna fucking have this problem where we're not doing shows very often anymore, because I think stuff is
calming down.
Yeah, shit's alright, we're good.
We buffed up our,
resistances.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Later.